Hey, what's poppin'? It's the Tuesday version of the Drew and Mike Show in the DealsNadie.com studios. Brandon is on site. Trudy is here in the basement.
Yeah.
Mark is here. He's going to call Ron Miscavige and beg for a short delay. As we talked to David Miscavige's father briefly yesterday, God, I hope I get to talk to him. I'm actually very psyched because he knows a lot of shit.
Yeah, some good stories.
I was just took a look at Ellen when she came on. It was her first show.
Oh, yeah, some stuff happened that shouldn't have.
Yeah, and she sort of joked her way around it. It was, you know, the dealing with it, the apology or whatever.
Danced herself out of it?
It was about 3 minutes of mostly jokes.
Really?
I thought she made a couple good jokes, too. She said, you know, she's the Be Kind Lady. And that if you're looking for a nickname for yourself, don't choose the Be Kind Lady because, you know, obviously, if you have a not-so-kind moment, they'll kill you with it.
Well, that's kind of true.
Then she pointed out that she chose that because a gay person killed himself after being bullied. So she was like, oh, gee, sorry. But she pretty much just really brushed it off and said, yeah, we're going to be better, and fixed it and shut up.
Did you catch her jokes when she sat down?
I don't... About, which ones?
She sat down and she goes, now nobody look at me.
Oh, did she do that? That's, yeah, well, that's actually a good joke.
And then she goes, no, I'm just joking, but I've got gum for everybody.
Well,
nice. Make a big joke out of it. That's perfect.
What else can you do? I mean, she can start crying. No, not a bitch like her.
I like how
meanie like Ellen.
I know a lot of people who are mean still cry in order to get themselves out of things, though, because they know it works.
Did you like Ellen's virtue signaling of telling her DJ that he's promoted to executive producer and then?
Yes, her black DJ, of course. Yeah.
That was cute.
That's, like I said, it was about 3 minutes of, I thought she brushed through it very quickly and with a couple jokes, and it worked okay. So good for Ellen. Yeah. The Emmys last night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes I feel like, do we spend too much time on award shows? Because it seems like nobody's watching them anymore.
No, I'm sure we probably do. But
it's definitely dropped off. But I think that, Drew, you do a great job at recapping it, so a lot of people don't have to watch these.
That's true. I agree with you, Brandon. I do a great job.
What an ass.
There were... when a football game does double the audience of the award show for your entire season of television, that's kind of a sign that you've lost.
Let me ask you this much. Was the show any different or worse or anything that it hasn't been in the past? I mean, seriously, I don't...
Not probably. Not. Yeah, you know, I didn't think it was a good show. I got to tell you, I thought the bits were really lame.
Yeah, but they're always kind of lame. But
what was the last great bit they did?
Well, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I just thought they were... Some of them were really painfully lame, like Anthony Anderson.
Oh, that was stupid.
Oh, my God, that was awful. And Jennifer Aniston, I feel like, are we doing Jennifer Aniston all over again?
Yes.
Why?
Because
she's not funny.
I'm still trying to make her happen.
I don't get it. The only funny person on there was probably Jason Bateman.
Bateman.
In the very beginning, and then when he came on later.
Yeah.
By the way, that show is really good, his show with Sean
Ozark?
Hayes. Yeah, no, the podcast, sorry, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really good show.
The actress on Ozark won, didn't she, for Best Actress?
She's really good, yeah.
I can't even think of her name. Oh, Ruth. Julia Garner?
Garner.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Garner?
Who's that broad?
I want to watch the movie show, morning show, but I don't have Disney, so.
It's Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ.
It's actually, I ragged on it a lot. It's actually pretty good.
I hear it's pretty good, too. I want to watch it because I love Billy Crudup. He won.
Oh, he's such a prick. He's so good in it.
He's good in everything.
Aniston, I don't know why she was nominated, though. She's nothing special in it.
Because she's Jennifer Aniston. Like, why do they have the three Friends chicks together? You know, like.
Everybody loves Friends.
It's so long ago.
Nostalgia.
Although, I got to say, those girls look really good. I have to give them credit. I know that's probably not what they're well, they have certainly done well with their looks. Yeah. But
compared to Chandler.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, Joey, who's the other Joey?
Tribbiani?
Yeah, what's his name in real life?
Matt.
Matt.
Oh, yeah.
Matt LeBlanc?
Yeah.
Matt LeBlanc.
I like him. He's funny. He's really packed on some pounds.
Ooh.
What?
Oh, yeah. He's gotten heavier. And
he plays himself on a show.
Yeah, you know, he's good.
And it's a really funny show, and he plays himself as such an asshole, too.
And Schwimmer, where's Schwimmer? Whatever happened to that guy?
Last we saw, he was shoplifting, remember?
He was a Kardashian.
OJ, People versus OJ.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay, before that, the last thing I remember is the boob doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Plastic surgeon who did boobs. What was that, 20 years ago?
Yeah, was that Nip Tuck? Was it that
show?
No, it was a movie, wasn't it? HBO movie?
Oh, I don't remember.
Seriously, I can't think of anything else I've seen him in. But let's see, what else? What's worth noting about the image? Well, I thought there were some, it's always fun to look at what people are wearing and how they look. Who is
Linda Cardellini? Oh, I'm in love
God,
with
is she
her.
Pretty?
I've
She's
always
really
been in love with her.
Gorgeous, isn't she?
She was
Velma.
Was she?
Scooby-Doo?
Well, she was originally in Freaks and Geeks, which is a great show, but she's
right.
You called it a chick show, but it's not a chick show. Dead to Me.
Okay. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah,
Such
she's
a
adorable.
Great show.
Yeah.
She was in Grandma's Boy.
Oh, was she? Yeah, she was in Grandma's Boy.
She was the boss.
Zooey Deschanel is just something dreamy about her. I don't know. She wasn't all dressed up, but
a goofy.
I love Zooey.
Did she still have bangs?
Yes.
means somebody broke up with her.
Kerry Washington. Is that true? Is that a breakup move?
Yeah, to dramatically change her hair. Get
no
bangs.
Kidding. Huh. Mm-hmm. I know somebody got bangs recently. Kerry Washington looked like $1 million.
Yeah. She always does. She's great.
Zendaya looked
beautiful,
quite outstanding, as she always does.
Did you see the uproar over her win on Twitter?
Wait, why were people mad she won?
Because they called it an upset victory, and people were
over.
I wasn't upset she won. We were very happy. Like, all these young people that watched Euphoria didn't understand what upset win meant. And so there are these tweets
really?
Nobody should be upset she won. She was really good in it. It's like,
people are that stupid?
Yes, people are that stupid.
Wait, should they have given it to, I'm just guessing here, is drama, right? To Schitt's Creek, possibly? They got everything. And about the fifth Schitt's Creek that went out, I was done. I turned it off.
Yeah,
they won the first 7 awards. I've seen Schitt's Creek, just a couple episodes. You know,
what am I missing?
Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara. I mean, that's the same people that do a lot of other things, and they're always kind of subtly funny. They're very kind of cool.
Yeah, they have their own clique of movies.
Yeah, it's a lot of Canadians actually, and it's his,
a lot of
gay
nepotism,
son.
If you ask me.
Yeah, you're right, Brandon. The gay son weaseled in on Eugene's
and his look too.
Yeah, if you ever wonder what just Eugene Levy looked like, gay. He had a kid. He's gay. It looks just like him.
Who has never been in a writing room until he did this show and he wins the Emmy? How pissed must a lot of writers be about that? Because it's not that good.
Or the buddy that won with him, who stayed in film school when he dropped out.
Is that his partner? He said my partner.
I don't. Does that mean I assumed partner? It meant writing partner.
Okay. See, I just, you know.
I don't know.
He said
a guy, and he said partner. But that guy won the Emmy, too, so.
I think he referenced another guy's name as maybe his partner.
Okay.
Other partner.
Well, one thing that I found distressing about Schitt's Creek was that they won the first 7 awards, and I noticed that 3 people in their acceptance speech said how diverse and inclusive the show was, but all the 7 winners were white.
What?
And everybody in the back, you know, the background.
Ooh, busted.
It was, I mean, when you say that repeatedly.
Well, I think they're talking about, I would assume, gays.
Well, I would expect to see someone of color. See, I'm not like into busting people, but when they start saying that, then I start counting.
I don't know. Does it make sense for the show, Schitt's Creek?
Well,
I thought every show should be
show.
Inclusive, shouldn't it?
It's a Canadian show. So when they bring on Americans, that's considered diverse.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Probably right.
What's the Mark Ruffalo show?
Oh, that when he played
that he won for?
2 parts.
Played a schizophrenic. And I thought he looked like he was acting terribly in the clip they showed. It seems so fake to me. But he, first of all, he gave the longest speech of the night on the worst Zoom.
Yeah, that was my first. That was the first thing I said. He was, can Mark Ruffalo get some better internet? But was he on indigenous lands or something? He said.
He says that so.
He's co-opting indigenous lands where he's staying. And I'm like, well, can we at least get indigenous lands some better internet?
Well,
his internet sucked.
Mark Ruffalo, you know, gave a big speech to, you know, vote for. He didn't say vote for Biden, but he said vote for Biden. No, don't vote for hate, and you know, on and on. It was kind of lengthy, and about four people had already said the same thing. So it was one of those deals.
Lisa, by the way, on Facebook Live says there's a black woman on Schitt's Creek. So,
oh,
okay,
okay.
I'm sure.
By the way, they get to make everybody on TV say shit.
Yeah,
that is kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And
now, I do know that we had mentioned Zendaya.
Zendaya. Yeah. Potato.
We had mentioned it. Now, I did get this phone call on the boner line. Do you mind if I play it for you? It's basically her acceptance speech, which was only a minute, but our boner line listener really found something odd about the speech.
Okay.
Can someone do an count on Zendaya's any acceptance speech? I think she must have said the word about 50 times.
Oh gosh, I just want to say thank you to the TV Academy, to all the other incredible women in this category. I admire you all so much. This is this is pretty crazy. I don't really cry. Oh, okay. Thank you HBO and A24 for all your support. Thank you to my family and my team who's all here. I'm really grateful to have all of you here. To the incredible cast and crew of Euphoria. I'm so lucky to go to work with you every day, and I'm inspired by everything you do. And to Sam Levinson, I appreciate you so much. You're my family. I'm so grateful for Rue. And I hope I can continue to do you proud. I know this feels like a really, really weird time to be celebrating. But I just want to say there is hope in the young people out there. I know that our TV show doesn't always feel like a great example of that, but there is hope in the young people. And I just want to say to all my peers out there doing the work in the streets, I see you, I admire you, I thank you. And thank you so much. Okay, thank you.
How many ums?
I want to say 18.
Whew.
It seems like more.
In 1 minute.
Is Ron Miscavige?
Yeah, I can call him up.
Oh, okay. Cool. Since 2017, the Hope Not Handcuffs program has helped 4,600 people get the help and resources they may not have gotten otherwise. If you know someone or you are struggling with substance use disorder or addiction, whether it be heroin, painkillers, cocaine, alcohol, you can go to one of 100 participating police locations and ask for help with no fear of being arrested. They will then get a volunteer angel that will come to the police department, assist with paperwork, and make the phone calls to get you placed in treatment or that person placed in treatment that day. If you go to hopenothandcuffs.com, you'll see all these police, local police, and I mean, it's just about everybody. The first step doesn't have to be the hardest. There is hope. Go to hopenothandcuffs.com to learn more and make the step towards recovery. Again, hopenothandcuffs.com, and they are our Facebook Live sponsor now. And Ron Miscavige, we were talking about yesterday, because he's... Well, we were reading about the book, which is called Ruthless, about David Miscavige from the Church of Scientology. Ron's the father who got the family into Scientology, and we just kind of...
Nice going, Ron.
I know. Look what you did.
You are the father.
How can that feel, too? Hey, Ron.
Let me get you a speaker here.
There okay, great. We love being a speaker.
Being recorded too, fun.
Oh boy.
Okay, so guys, let me get a chance to turn off my iPad here.
Are you recording us or is Scientology?
No, I'm not recording you. Are you recording me?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Yes, of course we are, because we want to have you on our
you're on our show.
Our entire audience to hear you.
Okay, so let me get a set of headphones on, because this way you're not going to get
a snack or something too,
right?
Yeah, sure.
Yes,
yeah,
yep. And then we'll be ready for you.
Yeah. Ron Miscavige collecting his headphones and.
Hey, man! Some people like to hear the sausage get made.
That's right. Less sausage making here.
I love this interview. It's such a weird term and gross.
I have so many questions for Ron. I started thinking about it today. I was like, oh my god! Every time Scientology comes up, I have a million things I want to say.
Well, I can get all the answers.
I bet he knows a lot about a lot.
Oh.
Well, okay, let me get this hooked up, and I'll tell you when I'm ready to go.
Okay.
Okay.
And I will mention that Ron's book, Ruthless, was a number one on the New York Times bestseller list.
Oh, really?
Which?
Yeah, that was in 2016. And on May 6th, hang on, let me get this set of headphones.
Yep, take your time.
Yeah, get the headphones and some drink.
We'll kill time for you.
Bagel.
I pick up the dry cleaning.
So what were we going to say about Ruthless? What else?
Well, you know, he tells pretty much his story about leaving the church in 2012 and, of course, not being allowed to talk to his family anymore. The Church of Scientology says that, yeah, he can talk to his family. They don't want to talk to him.
Hmm. Well, can which they Ron tell
disagrees
him that?
With.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they can tell him that. You know how Scientology works. But they also, this is incredible. When he left Scientology, they then got, I think Ron said, over 500 combinations of his name and sort of identifiers from GoDaddy.
Oh,
locked
really?
Them in so that if you ever put Ron McCavage into the internet, you'll run into all these horrible sites that say terrible things about Ron.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable because I saw, oh, the real Ron McCavage. And then I hit on it. It's like, it was like, I don't think this is anything has to do with Ron because it certainly isn't very flattering.
Wow. God, they're
you know what,
devious.
Guys? Give me a hand here because I've never actually plugged headphones into my iPhone.
Oh,
I'm wondering
oh.
if you shouldn't. Oh, wait a minute. I can't find the hole to plug it in.
It usually has a little tiny icon of a headphone.
Technology.
I mean, it could be. Do you have old headphones with the giant thing? It's bigger than the iPhone.
Hang on, let me just.
What kind of iPhone do you have, too? Because it depends if you need a lightning connector or just a regular hole.
Wow, this is unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Because I usually use it on my iPad.
Yeah.
Which probably will be better.
Yeah, I mean, either way it works fine. As long as you can hear us, I mean, nothing special here.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Do me a favor.
Okay.
Okay, hang on. Let me just.
None of this gets edited out.
Call me back again. I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
But I'm gonna take the call on the iPad.
We'll call you back in 10 minutes. Is that okay?
No, call me back immediately.
Oh, okay. Okay. Jeez. Great. Great.
I think you are.
I love it.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, take your time.
Oh, my God.
Take your time. Nobody's waiting for you. Take a call. Have a cup of coffee. Have a nice bagel. Take a little nap. It's fine.
Boy, that is really making the sausage.
That could not have gone any better.
Wow.
All right.
Your cell phone blows.
Hasn't he done a lot of interviews, though? Like a couple years ago he did.
Wow. Oh, he's done tons.
Yeah.
He's everywhere.
He is 84.
He's 84.
Okay, sorry.
I don't know what the headphone deal is. And yes, he has a 57-year-old wife. 27 years younger. Yes, indeed.
Well.
Turn my headphones up!
I think I called back too quick.
I think Ron's got a young heart.
And boner.
Well, that boner created
awkward.
You know who.
Yeah.
I know. That's
four
so weird to think about.
Fury.
Yeah, Tom Cruise's BFF.
And what is it in Ron's DNA? Jeez.
Oh, does he know Tom Cruise?
Oh, he must.
Yeah. I think he does.
Yeah, I'll just ask him right off the bat. Yeah, he's talked about Travolta. He's pissed at Travolta.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, Travolta's like, whatever, as long as I can do auditing.
Oh, he's very what? Yeah, exactly.
I picture
I'm going to scare him with this when he answers.
Hello? I picture
I'm not available to take the call.
Boy. Yeah, boy.
Is that the Velvet Glove brush off?
I just picture him, like, fumbling with five devices.
Let me mention that we are attempting to use the Hall Financial Hotline, which is usually easier than this. Many people are refinancing right now because interest rates are so low. Oh, my God, we get emails constantly about how much money people are saving when they refinance with Hall Financial. Low rates mean value. If you're on the market for that new home, remember Hall Financial Services is the fastest in the business. Get your mortgage in half the time of their competitors, 19-day average. And the virtual appraisals can be done without someone setting foot inside your home. So make money by saving money. Live how you want. Call 248-308-5000 or go to davidallmortgage.com. NMLS number 1467435. Hall Financial.
Man, I got to do that again. I have to hit them up. I just haven't had time.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to save $300 a month.
It's the time to do it. I mean, they say if you haven't refinanced, if you have refinanced like a year ago, you should call now.
No,
you should call
like
again.
Cause
you
two, three, maybe 5 years.
No,
5 years.
Do you know what your interest rate is? 5 years.
2.75.
2.75?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, buddy. No, I'm not kidding.
How do you have a 2.75?
Because I'm hot and special.
Really? 5 years ago, you got 2.75?
I did.
It's amazing.
I know. Thanks.
Okay, I'm less cocky about them helping you.
Oh, Mark is commiserating with him. Yeah.
Somehow.
Mark, because that's what best friends do.
Mark might be stretching a little bit. Okay. Ron Miscavige.
I need to tell you about that later.
You know, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, there you go. Should be on there now.
Ron!
Yeah. Oh,
cool. There you are.
Sweet. Here I am.
How you doing, Ron?
I'm doing okay. Am I on the air now?
Yes, sir. 100%.
Okay, do you have restrictions on light, profanity, or anything
no.
like that?
No.
Let it all fly.
No.
It doesn't have to be light.
Okay, all right. Now, listen, I'll tell you, I got my degree. My doctorate degree in profanity in the United States Marine Corps. I know other adjectives, okay?
Okay. Well, maybe we can get some profanity out of you because we were just talking before the phone was ringing about Tom Cruise, and Brandon said, do you think Ron knows Tom Cruise? And I said, yeah, I bet he knows Tom Cruise. You probably know Tom, right?
Yeah, of course I do, yeah.
Was he a nice fella to you?
He never treated me any way except with respect, and mostly as being David's father.
Sure.
He was extremely nice to me. He was just...
There's Tom. What did you think of him overall, though? I mean, he's in a cult, and he's a very high-level person, and I find that so strange because he's this beloved movie star, and I don't understand really what Scientology does for him other than hurt his reputation.
Well,
free labor.
Listen, you have to understand the mindset of a person who gets in Scientology, because I'll tell you, in the very beginning, and I don't know who I'm speaking to now. Am I speaking to three people?
Yeah, I'm Drew. Mark is here. And
hi.
Trudy is also here.
Hi,
Trudy.
And hi, Ron.
Trudy, Mark. Okay, good. All right, look at...
Brandon might pop off.
The beginning stages of Scientology, when you first get in, are actually helpful to you. Like, there's a course called a communication course, which actually gives you the anatomy of an actual communication that you're dealing with people with every day of your life. And I will tell you something. If a person just were to do that course, they would actually make themselves a better communicator, and it would help them in life. Hmm. And there are beginning stages like that that you do. That is then put in your mind as, this works. Everything about Scientology must work, because this works great. But the further on you go in, the more are introduced that things that maybe you don't agree with. But since everything was great up to that point, you say, well, I'll accept it. And at that point, you start brainwashing yourself. Because as a Scientologist, you have to study at least five times a week, 2.5 hours a day. And basically what you're doing is you're brainwashing yourself. And Tom Cruise is no different than anybody else.
He got brainwashed. Think they gave him a little break on some of the studying and maybe just lifted him up to OT7 because he's Tom Cruise?
Let me tell you something. Do you know anything about OT7 and OT8?
Well, yeah, a little bit. I mean, South Park. It's
never been audited, but yeah.
Tremendous amount of money.
Yes.
And to put somebody there and say, here, do this level, it's ridiculous. Well, first of all, the level itself is not true. I mean, it's stuff that's made up. And
it's science fiction.
The abilities that you're supposed to gain on that level, in these high levels, have never been achieved by anybody who's ever done it.
You mean like the healing, the assists, and all those things?
I'm not sure what you mean when you say a stealing. What do you mean by that?
Healing, like he can heal, you know, Tom Cruise feels like he can heal people or heals himself. He never gets a cold, that kind of thing.
No. Well, let's put it this way. I personally, if I'm getting a cold or anything, I just take more vitamin C or something. I mean, you know, that's a simple thing to do. But as far as healing people at a distance and everything, this stuff has never been attained by anybody who's been in.
No,
it's the
preposterous.
Early levels that gain your confidence. I'm telling you guys.
But I do remember, you know, seeing Tom Cruise with Matt Lauer on television, and he was angry because Brooke Shields was taking postpartum. She had postpartum, and she was taking some
psychological meds.
Yeah, some meds to help herself out. And he said, you know, you don't understand the history of psychiatry to Matt Lauer.
You don't understand. I really care about Brooke Shields.
And he's going on and on about all he's learned about this. And I think he was referring to vitamins and exercise. And then yesterday we were hearing about those steam 5-hour steam baths that people were taking in Scientology. This stuff is all hokum.
Well, let's put it this way. I exercise and I take vitamins, but that doesn't mean I'm a Scientologist.
Well, wouldn't help you with postpartum either. I mean, postpartum.
I didn't get your point. You just said
I said I don't think it would help anyone with postpartum the way some of the drugs that doctors prescribe help women who have postpartum. Yeah. But that's Tom's point.
Tom Cruise went on that show and made a fool of himself, as far as I'm concerned, because he's talking to Matt Lauer as if Matt Lauer's a dummy, and Matt Lauer is not a stupid person. Maybe he didn't study about these drugs, and maybe Tom Cruise didn't either.
I don't think Tom Cruise.
But he's giving the party line, because in Scientology, the biggest enemy of anything is the psychiatric profession.
Right, which is a reflection of L. Ron Hubbard. Enemy.
Well, let's put it this way. They vowed to wipe it out in the 60s and 70s. They've never wiped it out, but they use that as a way to gain money from people who want to support that. And parishioners go and give them, you know, tens of thousands and even millions of dollars so they can fight this fight. But it just goes into the International Association of Scientology's war chest. And they have like maybe $3 billion in cash from people donating money.
Yeah, it sounds between the money they have and they're so aggressive. They go after people. I mean, if anybody attacks a Church of Scientology, they have a whole attack program, which I think L. Ron Hubbard started. You know, if anybody criticizes us, here's what we do. And they put private investigators on people. They film them doing whatever they're doing. They drive them half crazy. And then, you know, with the IRS, some of the disputes there, I know they were going after individual IRS agents. And they were putting liens on their homes and all kinds of crazy. I mean, it's an effective strategy because nobody seems to stop them.
Well, no, you're telling the truth, too, because there is...
let me tell you about Scientology.
There's fair game, which if you speak out or you do things that maybe would expose Scientology, they could declare you fair game. And per the actual policy written by L. Ron Hubbard, you can actually be destroyed if you're declared fair game with no repercussions from anybody in the Church of Scientology. Now, they say that they discontinued that. They discontinued telling people about it, but they still do it. Okay?
Yeah.
And by the way, guys, let me give you a plug to your listeners, because
sure.
When before I come on, you mentioned that they got 500 variations of my name. That's true. And they'll take you to Character Assassination site where they tell things about me that if you believe them, I should have been shot last week. Okay? My actual website is the only place where you're going to see interviews of people who have been abused by the church, and there's over 90 of them on my website. And if they put in therealronmiscavige.com, just that, therealronmiscavige.com, they'll get my website. And you'll know it's my website if when it comes up, you'll see in big letters, "It must stop." And there's a guy sitting on a bench in front of a body of water, and that's where you can go and listen to interviews that I've done. I've done almost 100 interviews of people who have been abused. The actual interview with the cops interviewing the private investigators who were following me, getting paid $10,000 a week for over a year. The interview with Nick Pye of the West Dallas Police and Nikki Hankins, who is an alcohol, tobacco, and firearms guy. That interview is on my website, and you can hear the cops interviewing these people.
Okay, you know, Ron, I want to go back to the early 70s. You get the family in, and how did David become so close to L. Ron Hubbard to eventually get control in 1986 when Hubbard passed? Like, what was it that he did in particular to get so close to L. Ron?
Okay, well, let me put it this way. David wasn't always this way. I know. I'm his father. I mean, I was there from the time he was born. And David was born with a case of asthma that was absolutely terrible. I'm going to make a long story short.
Okay,
I tried everything in the books to try to handle that asthma, okay?
Yeah. Just talk to Takashi.
Finally, we took him to a Scientology auditor, which is a person like a counselor, and he took him in session, which is you go in there and you talk to this counselor. After 45 minutes, David came out,
and it handled his asthma to the point he never had a severe attack when he was a young man.
What?
He had more attacks, but they were never as severe where he couldn't catch his breath or think he was going to die.
Did they tell the American Medical Association what it is that they did for David so that they could pass it on to other asthma patients?
Of course not. I mean, and maybe it worked on David. It might not work on another 10 people, though.
Yeah.
You're talking about an anomaly that just happened to work at that moment.
Right. So it's kind of maybe a fluke.
Let's put it this way. How much do you think the mind has to do with the body?
A lot.
Well, there you go. And that's all I'm talking about.
So what did L. Ron Hubbard see in him beside his asthma?
You know, here's the thing. David, when he joined the Sea Organization when he was 16 years old.
Yeah, Sea Org for short.
He started rising to the top almost immediately. He's a very aggressive, very smart. Actually, he's a charismatic speaker. I mean, I'm not doing this as a puff piece on him because he went from Dr. Jekyll into Mr. Hyde. But I will tell you something. He caught L. Ron Hubbard's eye. As a matter of fact, within 7 months of joining the Sea Organization, he was working with L. Ron Hubbard as the cameraman making films for the church.
There you go. That's why.
And he just rose to the top.
Right. And just like NXIVM.
Yeah.
And the cameraman.
You know, there's a lot of similarities between NXIVM because people do, I think, gain certain things from NXIVM in the early days, and then they find out how psychotic Vanguard is and et cetera. But I wanted to ask you about the Sea Org because I know there's a lot of kids who are 15, 16, 14, and they work these insane hours, like 15 hours a day, and they don't pay them, and they seem to get nothing out of it other than whatever it is they learn. And there's other parts of Scientology where children work, you know, crazy 78 hours a week in violation of every child labor law I could imagine. Why is it that no one ever seems to challenge Scientology on these things?
Listen, my friend, in so many words, they probably don't have the balls to do it, okay?
Right, because they'll go after them, whoever it is, whoever shows up.
Yeah. Listen, I'm a Marine veteran. You're not going to walk on me and I'm going to say, oh, thank you for walking on me. Fuck you, I'm coming after you.
But there's a lot of people that would come after people. I mean, they
have $3 billion. I don't have $1 billion. I still do a podcast every week interviewing people. I do what I call story time. I do another thing called life lessons.
Steal that.
I do everything I can to expose them.
Oh, sounds like a great one.
Make people understand that they're not a healthy group to get involved with, okay?
What's the name of the podcast? Please tell me. Let me put it this way. Is that what it's called?
It's called TheRealRonMiscavige.com.
Hey, Ron, I wanted to mention, because I said all these 500 variations of your identification that they bought up to hopefully, you know, edge you out of being found online. One of the things I noticed was, I just put your name, I just Googled Ron Miscavige. And, of course, all these horrible things come up, including LeahRemoneyAftermath.com. And I thought, wait, Leah Remini Aftermath, what's that? And do you know what that site is?
It's her show.
It's not. No, it's something about her show, but it's not her because it says, you know, Leah Remini encouraged wife beater and fellow profiteer Ron Miscavige. One of the biggest shills for Ron Miscavige, admitted wife beater, racist and anti-Semite, is actress Leah Remini, who features him in her cheap reality TV show. God. I mean, this is a church that does this?
I'm telling you, man.
A church?
Don't get any idea that they are anything than a mafia-like organization who wants to raise money, and they don't give a rat's ass about people, okay? The one common denominator to religions, and I'm talking about any religion you want to name, Catholicism, Judaism, Islam. Well, I don't know too much about Islam. I don't know about that too much. But any of these, the one common denominator is some compassion for your fellow man.
Yeah.
They don't have that.
No.
Clearly. Compassion for money?
They got that.
Ron, what is it, you know, you talked about when you left in 2012 that you couldn't make phone calls without them being recorded, you couldn't write letters without them being read, you were at the base in outside of San Diego, the San Jacinto Mountains, I think, where it was surrounded by barbed wire. Well, what is it, I mean, if you can leave Scientology and it's this wonderful thing, why are they recording all these phone calls and why would anybody put up with that?
Well, I'll tell you, if you think you can walk off that compound
you're dreaming, man, because you can't leave. I couldn't leave that base even to go to a store to pick up, you know, some shaving cream or a tube of toothpaste. If I went to a doctor, I had to have somebody drive with me to make sure that I wouldn't escape.
But, Ron, why would no one ever call the police and say, you know, I'm kidnapped, I'm on this Sea Org, and they're recording my calls, and they won't let me go anywhere by myself?
How would you call?
That's kidnapping.
Didn't you
Listen, when you're there, you have to go through an operator to call out. You don't have a phone.
That's true. Didn't you use a Kindle to finally sort of break through?
How long are you guys going to have me on? Because I don't want to make this too long, and I want to get these points in.
From what I understood, they did not realize that there was Wi-Fi capability on a Kindle, and so you guys used Kindle, found out all about what was going on in the outside world.
Well, not necessarily all the things in the outside world, but the main thing I found out was there was a very good friend of mine who also was one of L. Ron Hubbard's what they call messengers, and she worked with L. Ron Hubbard up until the day he died. Annie Tidman. Annie Tidman got cancer. They sent her to Los Angeles to get treatment, and they sent a handler to give her auditing. Now, I would ask my medical liaison officer, how's Annie doing? And she said, oh, she's doing well. She's doing great, Ronnie. When I got on the Kindle, accidentally, I looked her up. She had died 6 months earlier, and that was withheld from everybody.
Well, now, see, the celebrities get out and about. They clearly know there's pushback from, the rest of the world. Why do celebrities stay in? Is it just simply because they get their asses kissed?
They're treated differently, aren't they?
Yeah.
No, they're brainwashed. Listen, the celebrities are treated like if a person were a prince or something in a monarchy. They'd be treated like royalty. And so they don't want to know about these things. They, of course, know about them. I mean, these are not stupid people. I mean,
stupid
things, but they're not stupid.
Ron, I would think somebody like Tom Cruise or John Travolta, who you were talking about in this article I read the other day, that they would feel this was bringing bad publicity down on them or a bad association. Why would someone like John Travolta stay in there all this time?
Well,
you think he's still brainwashed?
All he wants to get is his auditing because he feels better. And he even said this at one point. He says, listen, staff members can come and go. As long as I get my auditing, I'm happy. And that was it.
He doesn't care how they treat anybody else?
Well, by his actions, what do you think? What does your audience think? What you're saying is true.
I don't know what to think, because that makes John Travolta sound like one of the worst people in the world, that he would use his name to confer credibility on this group that treats people like dog shit.
It's almost like he needs auditing for treating people that bad.
Yes.
But someone once told us that there's a lot of collateral they have on Travolta, and that he might be a homosexual, and if he ever leaves Scientology, an alarm will go off, and they'll out him as being gay. Is there any truth to that you know of?
Well, I don't know if there's any truth to that.
Fact.
That's something. I mean, I know John Travolta personally. Personally, he's a very nice individual.
Yeah.
But when you let shit like this go and don't do anything about it, you're not that nice.
No, you're crazy.
Come on,
man. You know, Ron, I just thought of something. Were you at Tom Cruise's wedding?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, shoot.
No, I wasn't. And
that was Leah Remini's last stand in Scientology, basically, because she got in all that trouble.
And I'll tell you, I know Leah Remini since the day she got the role in King of Queens.
Oh.
And I'll tell you something, she is a ballsy chick.
Yeah.
She is.
When she said, hey, where's Shelley? Meaning David's wife. David's wife wasn't there. And what the hell's guy's name?
You're not allowed to say that.
Well, this guy said to her, listen, you don't have the fucking rank to ask that question.
Wow.
That's all he needed to say, because that was the end of her association with Scientology.
Well, you know what's funny about that is Leah Remini is a very famous person. She was a very successful actress. And all those people in Scientology who think they're such hot shit, you know, whatever their stupid position is, they're nobody. Yeah. They're absolutely nobody. And to think that they would be able to treat Leah Remini like that, who said she had given, I think she said, $3 million to the Church of Scientology, and they're going to talk to her like that? She said she was friends with Shelley, and so she was just asking politely. But by the way, where is Shelley?
Yeah, where is your daughter-in-law?
Well, as far as I know, she's still at the facility at Big Bear in Lake Arrowhead in California.
All right.
But listen, I'm not privy on an everyday basis to mm-hmm. things like this. But when I left, I called a friend of mine, Nori Matsumoto. He worked in the highest level organization at that base, which is called the Religious Technology Center. And my birthday is January 19th. Shelley's birthday is January 18th. So I would send her a gift on her birthday, which is the day before mine, and the next day I'd get an acknowledgement from her. Because if you're that close up with David, the chairman of the board, all of your communications are treated really fast, okay? So in about 2005, I sent her a gift. I didn't get an answer for about 3 or 4 days. And it was very stilted, like, oh, thank you very much. You know, like a kid wrote it or something.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of dismissed it. I thought, well, maybe she's on mission someplace. Now, when I got out, Noro Matsumoto also escaped. And I called him, and we were talking just about things in general. And I said, by the way, what happened to Shelley? He said, Ronnie, when you send her a gift, it would go in a pigeonhole because he worked in the communications office of our Religious Technology Center, and that pigeonhole would go to Lake Arrowhead. And he said, so that's where she was sent.
Now, you believe, though, that if she were offered the chance to leave, she would not leave. Like, she's still going to carry up.
I do believe that.
Yeah.
Would she have the wherewithal? Would she have the wherewithal to leave? I mean, do they withhold? Because a lot of these people that I hear that grow up in the church, which I think Shelley did, didn't she grow up in the church?
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, Shelley. I got the impression a lot of these people don't have a checking account. They don't have educations. You know, a formal education. They have virtually, you know, nothing outside the church, which is how a lot of them are kept in the church.
Yeah. Well, you got the right impression. That's exactly the scene with a lot of people. A lot of people who have been around for 10, 20, 30 years don't have the wherewithal to go anyplace. So if they get out, they worry about, am I going to be able to support myself? Do I have an exchangeable way to make money? Or do I have can I apply for a job that I can be worth something? So this wears on you. And after a while, they just give up. Yeah. And they figured, well, I'm just going to live here. And that's it.
That's so sad.
I swear to God, listen, if you were to take a bus to that base in Hammond, California, and go on the base, and you'd have to do it illegally, you'd have to crash the gate, and you said to everybody, listen, if you get on this bus, we'll take you to a safe place, you'll have a place to live, we'll give you money, we'll give you a job, and we'll make sure that you're taken care of until you can be on your own. Guys, I don't know if they would get any takers. Mm. I swear to God.
They're really? Afraid. They're afraid to go.
You got to understand the state of mind of somebody who's been involved in that for so long.
They feel helpless without the Church of Scientology, which is idea.
Friend, listen, the people there think that the application of this technology to all of men is going to make planet Earth a better place to live for every man, woman, and child. They actually believe that. That's the state of mind. Now, when
existence.
You think that what you're doing is contributing to that, that's a strong hook to keep you doing it.
How can they still believe that in this day and age? Just
well, yeah, the planet doesn't seem to be doing too much better.
A lot of stuff on fire, and you know.
No, you're
no, I agree. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. I did a life lesson a little while back, and I told people on that life lesson, the hardest thing that they will ever do, the hardest thing that anybody will ever do. As a matter of fact, some people it's impossible to do, yet everybody is capable of doing it. Do you want to know what that is?
What is that?
Call me back next week. No. I'm going to tell you what it is. Are you ready?
Yes.
The hardest thing you will ever do is admit you were wrong.
Oh, okay. Especially if you spend all that money.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. For people to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I was wrong.
You have more invested in it. You have more time invested in it. So to admit you're wrong, you're admitting that your whole life is wrong. Your whole life is a mistake, which takes a lot of guts.
And let me tell you something.
I have a friend, Fernando Gamboa. He's in Las Vegas, and he's also a left close friend of mine, great drummer. I was talking to him a couple several years ago, more than 7 years ago. And he said, Ronnie, let's face it, we were cons. Now, I got off the phone. I walked in my hallway in the house where I have a full-length mirror. And I happened to stop. I looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, you were conned. It was at that point that I started examining those things that I held in my mind that I thought were true and discarding them. And I started peeling the layers of the onion off. But up until that point, I still thought there was some value to keeping Scientology going, to keeping it on the road. And I swear to God, I had been out for years, but I still had some of that left over. It wasn't until that very moment that I looked at myself in the mirror and said, you were conned.
Does it have to be a full-length mirror?
Ron, your son, David Miscavige, has the hole. That's where he will put people to, I guess, until they admit their transgressions against the church. Have you ever seen the hole? Have you ever been in the hole?
I worked right across the pathway to the hole because I worked in the music department. I worked in the music department, and when I went to work, I would go past that hole every day.
But
and I've been in the hole to speak to somebody in there, and there was a guard on that door that was there 24 hours a day. All the windows were put bars on it. The back door was screwed shut. The other doors where you could get out. You couldn't get out of that hole unless you had permission to be out of there. And it was a highly secure place.
As far as
I don't know, I don't know if it still exists because there's been so much publicity on it. And guys, let's face it, the toothpaste is out of the tube. You can't you can't deny these goddamn things.
Well, that's why I don't understand why it's allowed to go on the way it goes on, you know, whether it's the hole or the child labor. I mean, because I just think of, you know, basic law like kidnapping and not allowing people their freedom. And it just seems like it's so patently obvious. Every person that gets out talks about what a hassle it was to get out, how they could not gain their personal freedom unless they did extraordinary things. I don't, it just seems like somebody, some task force or some agency would seek to, you know, put an end to this. But I guess it's just intimidation and fear.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's unreasonable, too, because, look, there's not any politician that has the courage to say, I'm going to handle them. And I think it's more than that. And there's an old saying, I heard this years ago, and I'll tell you what it is. I'm a musician, right?
Yeah.
Now, you think you know that. Listen.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's me, okay?
Okay.
At least you heard that I can play a horn.
Yeah.
Now, there's a saying, if you can do, do. If you, in other words, if you can do gigs, do the gigs. If you're not good enough to do that, teach.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you can't teach, take off all of your clothes. And if you can't do that, become a politician.
Ah.
Okay, Ron, I'm going to wrap this up. I wanted to ask you about L. Ron Hubbard. This, I believe it's a home that when he decides to come back to Earth, this home is waiting for him, and it's got all these luxuries, and I think there's even a message carved in the vegetation there saying, L. Ron Hubbard, this is your house, or something to that effect. Is that true?
Some cigarettes.
Yeah, some cigarettes.
No, there's no message in there, but there are sites where they've put the technology on these discs, and they're underground, and above that, it's carved in there. So if you were in a spaceship, you could spot that, and you could come down to that spot.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
But there is a house at the Hemet Base that is about as luxurious a house as you ever want to build. I've been in it. I've seen it. And I'm telling you, that's set aside for L. Ron Hubbard if he ever comes back.
And it does, in fact, have the symbol for the cool logo, the cool cigarettes logo carved into the bushes.
You got me. I've never seen
you never flew over?
Do people in Scientology, is that a running joke in Scientology? Do they really believe that, oh, well, Ron, L. Ron, when he comes back, he's going to go to that house? I mean, do people really believe that?
Yeah, they do.
They do?
Not only that,
the people who are on that base right now, all of those executives who have been broken, and I mean, they're like broken pieces because they have nothing to do. There's nothing to do on that base except sit around like mea culpa. It's all my fault, and I've been guilty, and I'm bad, you know? Those people have to believe in something. Yeah, there are people there who absolutely think that he's going to come back and go to that house and start running Scientology again.
Ron, one of my favorite stories about your son, David, is that whenever he orders dinner, he would get two different meals, and then he would look at them and decide which one he would want to eat. Is that true?
Well, I don't know if that exactly is true, but I do know this. I personally know the guy's chef, and I know what accoutrements they have, and a freezer, and it's almost like a walk-in refrigerator where you name any type of food, you're going to find it in there. And that's how his meals are prepared. Mm. They're weighed to the ounce, so he keeps his weight. They're perfectly nutritious. And I've heard that, but I don't have the experience of him saying, fuck it, I'm not going to eat this, I'm going out to eat. But I've heard people say that.
Is David a tough guy? Because I hear he assaults people on some kind of regular basis.
Well, that's what I hear, too. And I've never seen him do it because that wouldn't happen in front of me. You understand that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, it just wouldn't be proper. But I've heard it from too many people to believe that it's not true. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Now, were you...
I got to tell you one thing, and I'll tell you what I think happened to David. I think the power corrupted him in a word. When he was little, we got along famously. I mean, I'll tell you, we had a lot of fun together. He was a tough little kid, good sense of humor, just a wonderful little kid. There was a guy by the name of Lord Acton. He's a British prime minister. Well, he wasn't a prime minister, but he was a member of parliament. He's the guy that said, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. When David got the tax exemption for the church in 93, that was as much power as you could grant anybody. And I firmly believe that's what changed him from Dr. Jekyll into Mr. Hyde. I mean, that's my personal assumption. And I think I reserve the right to be wrong, always. But
Ron, thanks so much for your time on such short notice yesterday. And I want to mention, too, again, your podcast and the book Ruthless, which did so well. What's the name of the podcast again?
Yeah, and by the way, that book, if you go there, you could get my book, Ruthless, or you could get two humorous books that I wrote, or you could even, go right to any of the shows. It's called TheRealRonMiscavige.com, and it'll stay at the top. It must stop. That's the right podcast.
Sounds great, Ron. Thank you so much.
Okay, good talking to you, all you of
have
you.
Have a great day.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. So,
when is this going to be on the show?
It'll be uploaded by this evening. A couple hours.
Okay, buddy.
Okay, thank you, Ron.
Bye. Yeah.
See you.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye all right.
To all. Ron Miscavige. All right. I need to mention our friends at Zotford and Holly and DealsNadie.com because they brought back everyone's favorite month of the year, Truck Month, which means right now is the best time to take advantage of this year's most incredible savings on all Ford trucks, including the number one selling truck in America, 42 straight years, the legendary Ford F-150. Of course, they have the all-new Ford Ranger, the most talked about truck in Detroit. So get to Zotford. Lease a new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4 as low as $166 a month. Or see the hottest sales staff in Oakland County about leasing a new 2020 Ford Ranger Crew Cab XLT 4x4 as low as $188 a month. Plus, Gabar and the gang at Zotford still have new Fusions, Mustangs, EcoSports, Escapes, Edges, Explorers, all under $200 a month. So see the details and surf their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And Royal Oak is getting ready to have a contest that will give you the chance to win $1,000 in downtown bucks. Royal Oak Bucks. We'll have details on that, I think, tomorrow. But in the meantime, those of you who have your Royal Oak Bucks, spend away. I think people spent, $8,000 or $9,000 over the weekend.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow.
It's like just dropping 400 people into Royal Oak. And most of them probably are listening to the show because we made those Royal Oak Bucks disappear, $400,000 in no time. It's been great for downtown as Royal Oak is still a place to go. I mean, it seems like it's the place to go maybe more than ever of late, because unfortunately other places like downtown is just I mean, I don't. Are people Cricket. Going downtown at all? I feel so bad. I feel bad because
Detroit. Yeah, yeah.
That's so right. Anyway, and they've got the Lyft running Thursday through Sunday. If you can get $10, you can get $10 off your Lyft ride going into and home from Royal Oak by using the code GO, the number 2RO, GO2RO. So thanks to Downtown Development Authority. And again, be listening for details on a new contest coming right up. And Luke Nowacki wants you to know Pinnacle Wealth Strategies. And Luke, we'd love to help you with your financial plan. I know the market was down a bunch today. I don't know if it ended up way down. It's down 800 points between the concern over the Supreme Court's concern over the coronavirus second wave. I mean, it's like, oh, my God, how many things can be crazy at one time? Anyway, Luke wants to help you plan now, 6 months from now, and 6 years from now. Stocks, bonds, how cautious, how aggressive, 401k, company pension plan, so on and so forth. 248-663-4748. Rational financial advice from Luke Nowacki. Security Investment and Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities and our marketing names, product service reference here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. So there.
Nice. So.
Did the market end up way down?
You know what? It actually bounced up a little bit towards the end.
Oh.
But it's all about, you know, the other markets, money being pulled out, and COVID in Europe right now. So that's fun.
Well, yeah.
It's gone. Just don't worry about it. Yeah. It's gone.
Sure.
You know, this RPG thing is like the last thing. RPG, did you have to fucking die now?
And B?
I don't know. How dare she
RBG.
Die?
RBG. What did I say? RPG?
Yeah.
RPG.
Rocket-propelled grenade.
Well, she kind of has been.
I was watching all the coverage this morning, and she was really pretty.
Yeah.
She's very pretty. She wasn't a big makeup and, you know.
She's all yours.
Style.
She's very naturally wholesome.
She
looking.
Was. Yes. No.
You like what you see, huh?
But you know what? I wondered this, and I wonder this about everybody who does this. Is it up to her? Was it up to her that she lie in state when she's dying? You know what? You're just about to die. Is it okay if we leave you in state because people want to go see you? Or is that just like if they want to put you to lie in state, then you have nothing to say about it?
Well, is that something they broach? Something they talk
about? I don't
know.
I wouldn't want to lie in state. I'm not going to lie in state. Nobody's going to want me to lie in state.
That's
I would not want to lie in state.
Trudy, we're putting him
in state. He's lying in state. So lying in state, Drew. And you won't be able to do anything about it.
We're going to have so many people come look at your dead body.
Remember Ernie Harwell was lying in state?
Yes,
did he want to lie in state?
Yeah, he did. He told everybody. Yeah, that's all he ever talked about.
Yeah, you know what? You're right about that. Oh, you should be able to decide, but that's
you
such...
You are long gone.
Trudy, do you want to lie in state?
No.
Okay, absolutely. You're lying in state.
No, but that's such an awkward decision to, hey, do you want to lie in state as you're taking your last breath? I mean,
no, it just is so weird to me. It's like, I can't believe people line up to go, oh, I know she's dead, but I still want to see her. Isn't it weird how many people line up and go, well, I just really want to my tribute to RPG is to see her lying there dead.
Jesus Christ.
It's a way to show
respect. Isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah. What if Paul McCartney was lying in state?
No, I don't want to see him lying dead.
Oh, you totally would.
No,
aren't they still doing that with Lennon in Russia?
Oh, yeah. There's still a glass box with him in it. Yeah, there is.
I mean, isn't that just the weirdest thing? And I remember when... Who was lying in state, Mark? Was it Reagan?
Reagan, yeah. They had the longest one.
That line went on forever.
Yeah. You know what? That just weirds me out to begin with. A funeral's going to see somebody who's laying in a cat. I mean, you're lying state for your family and friends, I guess.
I'm really not. I'm really not up to speed with what the goal is. I just feel like, why don't you just go see the person before they die?
Excuse me. I've got an after-funeral party to attend.
If you're important enough to them, they'll see you right before they die because they'll want to see you.
Yeah. Sure.
It's about the mourning. We all grieve differently.
Oh, well, that's true.
I don't grieve by wanting to see the person lying there dead.
No, you're there to support the people that are alive, that are the part of the family.
Well, no, but they don't have to have the dead person there. I can do that without the dead person lying there going, oh, my God, she looks so great.
Well, yeah.
That was pretty weird.
She looks so peaceful.
But you got to have the dead person there because then you can go, I'm going to get out of this conversation. I'm going to go pay my respects.
Well, they can be with the casket closed, can't they?
Right.
Am I being weird about this?
No. I'm not a fan of open caskets.
And as far as... the Supreme Court this morning, I was just, I don't know why it amused me, but basically every politician is being a hypocrite right now. Everyone. Because the Republicans are saying, oh, he's the president, he's got to do it. And every Democrat is saying, no, it's an election year, just like when Merrick Garland. And even though they were saying at the time that he absolutely should be made,
did you see the Supreme Court Justice. The Ted Cruz ones back to back.
I saw.
Holy shit.
What about Lindsey Graham?
I didn't see Lindsey.
Lindsey Graham says, it's election year, and it's inappropriate to do. Let the people decide. And if in 2019 a situation is reversed, then you can call me a hypocrite if I say otherwise. So I guess we can call him hypocrite, but he's still all for it.
They don't care.
No, they don't care.
Neither side cares.
But it's funny, too, that the Democrats are so against it because they were all saying, no, you have to do it. So what if it's an election year? I mean, there were not Democrats that agreed.
No, I know. But I guess maybe their point is strengthened because we're even closer to the election now.
Well, we are closer.
Like 9 months out, okay.
But it just goes to show that no one really means anything.
Oh, fuck God, no. It's about winning.
Oh, God, what a joke. And watching people get angry over this, it's just, yeah, I mean.
You can't control it.
No, there's nothing you can do about it. It just goes on.
If you don't like it, you say, it sucks, nothing I can do about it. If you love it, because you're the other side, you say, woohoo, nothing I can really do to control it.
Yeah, but you were asking yesterday on the show about, I think it was the Matt Stafford thing or something, where people go on and they get mad and then everybody's angry and then it devolves into a question about racism and people fight over that.
You snowflake!
Well, it also has to do with that documentary that's on now, The Social
Dilemma.
Yeah. That's what that is all designed. And how do we know that some of the people who aren't making those statements that tip off all this anger aren't provocateurs who are trying to get more people pulled into the rabbit hole, angry.
But basically what Trudy is saying is,
how do they know that the police and the DA didn't make all this evidence up to make him act the way that he's acting?
Right.
Well, Trudy, to go a step further, the people who are, for example, let's say they're arguing about Matt Stafford's statement, and they're saying they start going after the people who've been shot by police, like Jacob Blake. You know, he's all his wife. It's, you know, the more you feel those things and the more you go on to sites that tell you what you want to know, the more stuff that's fed to you. So it just reinforces your opinion all the more over and over. It gives you the if it's false information, you'll get more false information to tell you that you're right.
And then you'll never get in front of a full length mirror and say, I was wrong.
I was conned.
It was pretty heavy.
I know we were just talking, him and I were just talking to Ron about it off the air. Nobody will admit they're wrong. And then he told me that trumpet he played was called a pocket trumpet, 8 inches long.
It's a pocket trumpet.
It's an 8-inch long pocket trumpet.
He's really into music. He's still a working musician.
That's why I was laughing.
And he's in the music department at Scientology. They actually performed. And I think when Ron left Scientology, They put out a bunch of stuff that he was a crap musician.
Are you serious? Yeah, and that's a low blow.
Fucking up the Scientology band, and they were glad he was gone.
Oh, that would probably piss him off the most.
I think it did bother him.
But I was laughing before he came on when I was talking to him off the air because he said, "You know, I'm a musician. I'm working music." Just exactly what he said.
Wow, he's really working that hard.
He's very proud of that.
I'll say yesterday. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
He was actually off the air too. He was getting upset because, you know, he's like, "This is some serious shit. I haven't seen my son, my grandkids, two of my daughters." So
it happens all the time.
Bullshit.
If you leave, you give up your family, and that's why some people stay in, because they're like, I know the minute I leave, I'm a suppressive person. I've never had a checking account in my life. I don't have a degree. I don't have anything. And so, surprisingly, though, I've noticed this about Scientology people, also about NXIVM people, and also, remember the cult where the guy did the penis push-ups?
Blowing
them while he was doing the push-ups? Yes. Which they had like a 3-second clip where they actually showed it. Like, oh my God!
Holy hell. Was
Holy
the
hell. That cult, too. A lot of those people who leave all three of those cults are very successful. And they pull their shit together and they make it work. And I'm like, wow, I can't believe it. You're in Scientology, like from 25 to 45, or you're in this, you know, holy hell, or you're in NXIVM, and you come out of it and you just like start doing something productive, and it seems like it's no big deal. Because they're used to studying insane hours anyway, I guess. So
they need to learn sunk cost and all the money they poured in. Just get out when you can. Don't try to recoup it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, there's two levels there. There are the celebrities who they value because their message is stronger. And those people, like Tom Cruise, are served by the people who do, you know, work for nothing or pennies.
Yep.
So that's the
what
two.
What in the hell are you talking about?
I know, Tom. I know you don't want to hear it, but didn't Sea Orgs build that lavish, like, house of his? And
they did.
Landscaping and all that.
They've done a lot of things for Tom Cruise. I don't think he needs Scientology for the free labor he gets, but, I mean, it's a nice, you know, and he goes to the Celebrity Center, and he's treated like a king.
Why would he leave? He's not going to leave.
No, I think he thinks he's a messiah. He's like the number two in command at Scientology.
Respect the cock.
Exactly. But Tom Cruise, I refuse to believe that Tom Cruise is auditing, you know, 150 hours a year or something, or doing Scientology bullshit, or buying extra volumes because there's punctuation changes like all these other putzes
do. Oh, he
do.
Might. You never know with that guy.
He might.
He does have the tent on every movie set.
And he built that insane house in Clearwater, right? Which is where Scientology, all their crap is.
We haven't checked in with our buddy in Clearwater. Remember the bar owner?
Yeah, that's right.
That guy
was
great. I don't even know what's going on in Clearwater anymore.
There was, just changing speeds here for a second, there was some local news of note today. One that, every time this happens, it just, it hits me because I feel like I'm having deja vu from when I was in high school. This car full of Oak Park kids was driving on Telegraph, hit a curb, and ran into trees and flew through the air, and two kids were killed. One kid is in ICU. One kid is in serious condition. Two people are okay, including the driver. And today they had a press conference, and they said the car was going 100 miles per hour on Telegraph, and it was changing lanes radically, you know, obviously just turning the road into a, you know, its own freeway or its own...
racetrack.
Yeah, racetrack. And the driver lost control, and two people are dead.
Cadillac
and they had a
SRX, too. Nice
what's car. That? Yeah, Cadillac SRX. Yeah, nice car.
And they said the kids were all good kids. Like, there was nothing...
Well, there were no drugs and alcohol. Yeah. And, yeah, the two kids had died. They had a vigil over the weekend for the families. And, you know, that was nice. I could tell the families were, you know, pleased to hear from all these kids. And, you know, it's just so sad because I remember distinctly every time this happens. When I was a senior in high school, this guy... Lowell Sewell, I think was his name.
How do you call out everybody you went to
I know,
school?
Isn't that weird? I do remember his name. And he was with a passenger, and I can't remember the passenger, and it was on Halloween, my birthday. And they were dressed up in costume, and they were driving some high rate of speed, you know, 80 miles an hour on like a 35 zone, and they hit a telephone pole or something, and both of them were killed. And I remember the thing to do at the time, because everybody's like, oh, my God, what do you mean he's dead? He's always dead. He's forever dead. I mean, when you're 16, it's like such a mind-blowing concept. Yeah. But I remember that we all went and looked at the car, because the car was at this one, it was at like a garage, and it had just been towed in there, and it was total, of course. But people look at the car and go, oh, my God, there's his wallet. Oh, my God. You know, just all those weird, odd, crazy things. And his mother worked at the hospital, too. So I think she was there when he was brought in.
Oh,
it was
horrible.
God.
But it seems like every, you know, 4 years class in a high school, it seems like there's always that one crazy,
right.
I don't know, if
you
had one.
We saw the one at Stony Creek. What was that, a couple of years ago? That was awful. Growing up, this happened, you know, it's in my neck of the woods over and over, where there was kids who wanted to maybe jump a road. You know, there's a road where you can jump and get some air, and some kids crashed and ended up burning, and it was awful. And I've told the story a bunch of times. When I graduated, I had a car full of friends and a car full of friends crash into each other on back roads.
Oh my God.
And many of them died, and those who lived had really bad injuries. It's one of the reasons why they're always trying to update, you know, how kids are driving these days, and we moved to these new segments. When you guys were younger, when you got your driver's license, you pretty much just walked in when you were 16, took the test, and we're done. Well, now you got to do, you know, all these logs, and you got to do longer classes and stuff.
Well, thank God kids aren't driving anymore.
I know. So many kids aren't getting their license when they're 16. I just found that was so... I couldn't believe that was really happening.
Wait, I know. That was like,
I thought everybody wanted their license immediately.
Yes.
Everybody went on their birthday when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Me too. Hashtag.
But I guess if you're being driven everywhere and you like your parents a lot.
I know. What a bunch of suckers we were.
I don't know how they do it. Chauffeurs. I've been without a. I haven't been driving for what now? A month?
You don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah, right. Are you kidding me?
Where do you have to go?
I'm that guy who walks and crosses main intersections. I'm running all the time, trying to just get a Red Bull or something. Oh, it's awful. It's not cool.
Oh, I can't imagine. I mean, not having a license. It seems like I can't even fathom it.
That's what I'm saying. I can't understand why some of these kids don't want to get it right away, because
mom and dad will drive them everywhere, or they'll get an Uber. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
Also, locally, they had the Corona update for schools K through 12, 33 cases of students and staff infected, which I guess they reveal on Monday for the week. And
where at? Do you know? Will they even tell you where at?
I don't know if they said which schools, but it wasn't many cases. And it was a pretty good week, is the bottom line. And I don't know how many kids are, you know, actually present in school, but
true.
And Kamala Harris.
A lot of them are talking about reopening too.
Yeah, there's going to be more in school, it sounds like. Kamala Harris is going to be in Flint tomorrow and Detroit. So I'm sure in Flint, is she going to tell everybody that she's going to, you know, make up for all the horrible things that happened with the water and
sure,
like every other politician that goes to Flint claims.
And then nothing happens.
And then exactly. Mm-hmm.
Because nothing ever gets fixed.
No, it really does.
That's a big fix.
Well, I just don't know. Why do people keep going there and saying they're going to do something and then they don't do anything?
I think they realize that it's...
Can't do anything.
And also today, I was reading a story about the Lions game that WJR, Dan Miller and Lomas called the game from Ford Field.
Yeah, thanks for listening to ML's podcast last
night. Ouch. It stings.
What? Who said that? What?
It stings.
ML's podcast. I'm not responsible to listen to every word of ML's podcast.
I thought maybe...
What, did Dan reveal that they were going to do that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for passing along.
So then I asked him, how much of when you're calling the game in Ford Field, do you look at the monitors anyway? Because you would think
probably a lot.
Yeah, because you're that far away. And he said, you know, when the play goes live, you're watching the play. But then obviously right afterwards, you're going to watch the monitor. Because he said you have to watch the play because there's a delay. Which I thought was interesting. I don't know.
Oakland County said today that 25% of small businesses in Oakland County are gone. And 156,000 jobs lost, which is about a decade's worth. It's a lot of jobs. And so they're still, am I not correct in saying that the Republicans and Democrats are still fighting over the relief bill that expired 8 weeks ago?
Oh, it's crazy that they can maybe get a Supreme Court justice together, but they can't figure out that whole, what?
Well,
giving money to people who are starving?
Trudy, there doesn't need to be a compromise for the Supreme Court justice.
Do you know offhand how many states are taking the $300 a week?
No, how many?
There was 19 states about 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about it this morning, and somebody said it's 47 states now. Oh. But that's $300 a week for people unemployed. I guess normally they get, you know, $365 or something in Michigan. But they were trying to help these people, you know, who have been basically wiped out of work because of the pandemic, and... I think the Republicans were trying to get them an extra $400, and the Democrats were demanding $600, and then the amounts got even more divergent, and it was like, what the fuck? Are you fucking kidding me? How can you be? Just split the difference. What the fuck? I mean, you're talking about people who have been wiped out of work and who were taken care of for, you know, whatever it was, 10 weeks or 16 weeks, and then all of a sudden, bam, nothing, and, oh, yeah, we got it. Got to have a relief bill. But I mean, do they even talk about it anymore?
I have no idea. It's so off the table.
Yeah, wouldn't you think that would be one of the biggest
yes
exigencies? Because what? You have people who are probably not going to have homes in the winter, and
there's such a chain of events going on. You got people who can't pay rent. You've got, you know, landlords who aren't getting rent and who can't kick people out. I mean. This is, I just don't, the whole gridlock is, to me, just reached such insufferably insane levels. I don't know, it seems there are certain things you just have to drop whatever anger you have and just get it done. But really, it represents to me, what's going on in Washington represents kind of all of us everywhere. We really are the United States of assholes. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't even compromise to get people who are out of work and are suffering. We can't even get them relief.
So nobody can look in that full-length mirror and admit they're wrong.
No. Speaking of the United States of assholes,
full-length mirror.
I was reading about the... Remember the Hall family in Warren? Somebody broke a picture window.
Yeah, and wow. We didn't talk about this yesterday.
Yeah, they graffitied three cars that family members had that were right there. And so they had organized, or Detroit Will Breathe had organized a march against racism in Warren. And for some reason, I don't know if it's a counter-protest or it was scheduled. It sounded like it was a counter-protest. And I'm like, a counter-protest? What, people for racism?
Well, I'm glad you said that because the counter...
And broken windows.
They described the counter-protest as Trump supporters. Like, what does he have to do with this?
Nothing.
So why are they
Well, they were
there?
Carrying Trump flags. I mean, I thought, is this a Trump rally? I mean, what are we talking about here? And then the counter-protesters started... ragging on the March Against Racism people, and the next thing the March for Racism people were trying to grab Trump flags away from the counter protest, and then they did say that the groups collided again when the marchers blocked Hoover Road, and somebody apparently almost hit somebody on a bicycle in a truck, and they said there was some shoving and lots of insults, but then they said there were hugs and fist bumps.
Yeah.
So, it just sounds so ridiculous.
What are we talking about?
Maybe they're crisis actors.
The thing that gets me,
and they were working on overtime, and then they're like, okay, see you later, bro.
The thing that gets lost in that whole story is the family, the ones who, you know, are the alleged victims in the whole case. Well, actually, no, they are victims because they have the guy on camera now, I guess. Did you know that? They had the guy
on camera? Yeah. They said they had a grainy thing of somebody slinking around.
Yeah.
I don't know if they saw him doing what was done, but they thought they had a suspect.
Yeah. But they're really buried in the story. But I don't know. I thought their comments were really good. And the story, the one I read, ended with, "We don't believe in hate or violence. We just want to live peacefully among our neighbors." Which, how sad is that? But all this noise around them with the two protests, it sucks.
I don't know. It just seems that there's nothing. Well, you know, I think we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, and I said, is there not anything we can just all kind of drop the shit and just go, okay, let's just sing this one song, the National Anthem, or the Black National Anthem, or the Pledge of Allegiance, or is there anything we can just all do and just feel like, you know, there's this one thing that we should do? It doesn't have to be the National Anthem. It could be anything. I mean, there's nothing. Nothing we can agree on. Not even getting money to people who are suffering.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I mean, after watching The Social Dilemma, I sort of felt like we're all programmed to be this way now.
Yeah, I believe that.
And we're consistently programmed further to continue doing it and doing it more and doing it more and doing it more.
There was a story about when the wildfires first started. Are those done, by the way? I haven't heard anything
about
wildfires.
I don't think they're done.
Days.
They just burned everything down.
But isn't that weird? It was like the biggest story, the worst disaster. No, I don't know. No one's talking about it anymore. But there was a story right when that started about how social media and trolls and bots were starting to divide people over the fire already. And then you see it culminate to the end of last week when this rumor gets thrown and spread around that Antifa is starting fires.
I saw that.
And it gets spread so fast because people want to believe it. And it was just total bullshit. All because of social media and people being too dumb to ever look in to see what the truth of something is.
So why are we allowing this to happen to us?
Because it fits everybody's echo chamber. I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. Everybody's guilty of it. It's just to what level do you take it to?
I don't understand these
people.
It's
hard to get out of an echo chamber.
I do not understand these people on social media because I mentioned I go through my feed and I'm looking for people post some interesting stuff. It's fun.
Yeah.
And then I'm constantly going, oh, really? This guy's posting about this again? You know, and it's you know, somebody either who's pro-Trump or anti-Trump or pro-Biden, and they're, you know, they're raging at the other side about, you know, how insane is this? And then, you know, somebody gets into the comments who's not exactly, you know, with the program, they get hammered.
That's when a winner is declared.
It's just so twisted, and I do occasionally see people on, you know, some of those places where people are posting all the time who go, man, could you just stop posting about this? Yeah. Nobody wants to talk about this. It's such bullshit.
We saw Joe Rogan.
And see me win that conversation?
Joe Rogan what?
He actually retracted something that he said and apologized for spreading it about the fires in Portland.
Oh, is that about Antifa?
That he had heard. No, he said he heard that somebody was starting fires, and it was true in one case but not in others, and that he put it out there and that he was sorry that he spread the bullshit around without checking it out. So,
well, see, we all fall victim. Some people say.
But I feel like he did look in the full-length mirror and see himself and realize he was wrong and did something.
Well, that's commendable.
That's commendable, yeah.
Do you think it starts at the top when he goes, some people say? I mean, Trump's all for throwing out any kind of rumor or theory.
Well, he usually, though.
Like QAnon, even. He will not disavow QAnon, which is amazing.
My favorite, some people say, is when he was talking about who is the congresswoman who's married to her brother was.
Oh, Omar.
Omar, yeah. And he said, he's talking about Omar and the squad or whatever he called him. And he says, hey, Representative Omar, some people say she's married to her brother. I don't know. But, I mean, there is a lot that indicates that she was married to her brother to get him into the country. And, I mean, I could go into the deep dive there. I think the Minneapolis paper did a lengthy deep dive into it, and they said in the end that they simply could not be certain one way or the other because she would not, I guess, reveal certain information. Because it's really simple to me. If somebody's saying that I was married to my sister, I would just say, hey, look, these are my parents. They're not her parents. Well, I don't know who her parents are. If you can find out who her parents are, you'll find out they're not my parents. I mean, that's a really pretty simple thing to prove, isn't it?
This is what her brother had to say about it.
My sister's body is bonkers.
I think he had more to say about that, too, Brandon, if you can find him.
I dated my sister once. 2 years. The breakup was horrible. But the sexual chemistry, I don't have to tell you, was electric.
God, he's the best.
And you know, with Rogan, that's not even the only news with him, because now there's these reports. I'm not sure how digitalmusicnews.com even is, but they got some they got some scoop that says that Spotify employees are demanding that they have editorial oversight in Joe Rogan's podcast, and that's the reason why some episodes are missing.
Oh,
and
bullshit.
And they want to be able to edit it before it goes live. And
I don't know the story. I don't know the truth behind it, but do you really think Rogan would sign a deal like that if he didn't have full editorial? Not full,
there's
but
no fucking way. Major editorial. Spotify employees actually approve his show. Are you fucking kidding me?
How much money, though?
$100 million, right?
I don't know. I might. You just go in and play songs or do whatever the hell you wanted to if you're going to get $100 million. Say whatever.
I don't.
You
know,
whatever they cut out, they cut out.
Would Spotify management listen to employees to mess with something that is very successful and work?
No. Are you telling me this is the part that blows my mind the most? Are there really Spotify employees who are so upset about Joe Rogan's show? They're going, if they bring it over here, then we have to have a group that goes through it and makes sure everything is true.
Probably. Why not?
Who would
be surprised?
Why? Yeah, I am. Because why in the world would they think that they have a right to vet his show?
Because they're so woke. Because it's Sweden.
Oh, sitting here thinking there are probably like 5 people who work at Spotify. There's president, vice president, and then there's 3 others.
I mean, what is the precedent for that? Who allows some rando angry group at a platform to vet a successful show like that? Nobody. I mean, I don't know why they would even. Well, it's probably all bullshit.
Yeah.
As we step into fall, the team at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off their Jeep Celebration event. It's going to be off the hook. If you like performance and fully off-road capable vehicles, then Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has you covered, starting with the 2020 loaded Jeep Compass as low as $155 a month, or the new 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk, four-wheel drive, as low as $249 a month. If you need a truck, go lease the new 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month. Or how about performance? Pour it into an SUV that drives like a sports car. Lease the 2020 Dodge Durango GT at $343 a month. And you know the game. No Zot spot it complete. No Zot spot is complete without talking about the Jeep Wrangler. You want them, Zot's got them. Plus, you still have time to custom order a Wrangler to your specs. Get details, sift their massive inventory at dealsinad.com. And Dr. Yaldo is just lasering away. As many people are taking advantage of the DuraMic discount because they want LASIK surgery or they want multifocal lens replacement, and they're finding that this really isn't a bad time to do stuff like this, as you'll hear with Dr. Roche as well. Multifocal lens replacement will have you seeing small print and everything else for as long as you live. If you are over 45, this is something that he might consider if you go for a consult by calling 1-800-398-EYES. Again, $1,500 off. Mention the Drone Mike Show. And bring a friend, talk them into surgery, and get half off. So that's a lot of discount. They'll pay for itself and the money you save on eye exams, all the contact lens and glasses stuff you need for every year. Go to YaldoEyeCenter.com or call 800-398-EYES. And Trudy, what's Dr. Roche doing?
Dr. Roche in September is putting people in the BBL cone so that you can get all of what summer did to devastate yourself, make you look like the Crypt Keeper. Well, it'll help bring you back, take away some of the fine lines, all that age spotty skin. It cleans that up, makes you have clearer, fresher looking skin. In fact, I saw a picture of a woman. She'd worked outside, you know, like she was one of those people who was out working in the garden all the time or mowing the lawn, and her face was very freckled. And after several BBL treatments, had as clear a complexion as anyone. So it was.
She sounds hot.
And he's got a lot of before and after pictures like that, including also treatments, successful treatments through Evolve, where you can get toned arms and abs, hands-free muscle toning treatments at Evolve, plus much, much more. There is a $5,300 Evolve special now for $2,500. All the treatments that tone and tighten so you don't have like saggy skin afterward. And then Zerona and Virtue lasers for cellulite and smoothing things. You know, taking the puckered skin away, all that stuff, so that you look a lot better in your sweater for winter, and CBD products on top of it all, 50% off. And those are pretty pretty exciting because, you know, some of them you can roll on or wipe, you know, into the back of your neck and get a lot of pain relief and, you know, for muscle soreness and other things. I use it for my shoulder and my neck there, and it really seems to, it helps tremendously. So
my shoulder.
I know. So give their office a call because
elbow.
Totally steer you in the right direction for any sort of procedures that you want to have. 248-338-1110 or go to droche.com to see those procedures and see them before and after for yourself. Right?
Fun.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, Mark, I have a question for you.
Sure.
What happened? Because I saw a headline today.
What happened?
And I immediately laughed, but it wasn't my laugh. It was your laugh that was in my head. And it was basically saying from the Wall Street Journal that Quibi
is
exploring strategic options, including a possible sale. They're trying
There's no strategic options. The only option is to fold.
They're bailing?
They're trying to do whatever it is to offset all this loss because, you know, they've given up so much money to celebrities. They've run a lot of ads, and yet nobody, and I really mean nobody, because I've never met one person who's mentioned seeing anything on Quibi.
Nope.
I've never seen a review that says you guys have to watch this Quibi show. It's nothing. It's dead. It's
zero
kaput.
Buzz.
And you called this probably, what, 8 months ago?
Well, it's a stupid idea. The idea that we're going to tell you how long an episode is when everybody knows how the pause button works. I mean, that's true to you. Do you use YouTube TV? I don't know what you use.
Yeah. No, that's my main TV
The best part about it is once you stop or hit pause and you go to somewhere else to watch it, it's right there.
Yeah.
So why would you want Quibi to do it for you and decide how long they are? They really messed it up, too, because you couldn't take screenshots and share things. So it's just, I don't know. I love that story because it's a complete and utter failure, and some idiots like us could have told them that it was a complete and utter failure, but... Is it Jeffrey Katzenberg? Is that the guy that was behind it?
Yeah, Katzenberg, right.
And Whitman, you know, they're too smart for the room, so.
Well, they were Disney, weren't they, for the longest time?
Katzenberg did a...
Katzenberg?
I want to say he was NBC, too, for a while.
Yeah, well, they all thought they were, you know,
hot
like
shit.
Lightning in a bottle, and...
It's just, I don't know. Good. I'm glad it's done. Although I'm
two now, though. That's two. You're on a roll here.
Uh-oh,
you're going to have to come up with a new
Where's
one, because
one?
That's... You had WeWork? Yeah. Where you called that one the fail before it failed, and then Quibi as well. I didn't even know about Quibi until you brought it up and explained why it was going to fail. I think that was like in February, and here we are.
Well,
what's the next one?
I think it's going to be this TikTok thing. You guys heard of this TikTok? No, I don't know.
Well, TikTok is doing quite well now, but is it going to like once or it merges with Oracle? Will that?
Is it Oracle or was it Microsoft? One of them, I thought today there was news that one of them was going to go ahead and buy them.
I guess it's been a ping pong game between the two of them, but Trump wants it to be merged with Oracle for some reason.
Oh, I think you're right. I think it is Oracle. Not Microsoft bought some game company.
I don't give a fuck about those guys. They have too much money.
Microsoft? Well,
all of them.
How else is Bill Gates going to kill off 20% of the population?
That's what he wants.
Looks like
it's
happening.
So they buy a video game company and they're going to kill off 20% of the population.
With that game.
Potential customers.
He was a nerd in middle school and he was like, I'm getting made fun of so much. I'm going to show all these people by changing the world with a revolutionary interface for the computers. And then I'm going to make so much money, I'll be the richest man in the entire world. And then I'm going to give all my money away in charity, but not before I rule the world and kill everybody.
Implant a microchip in everybody and kill off 20%. Yeah, I got my flu shot the other day.
Oh, me too.
Oh, I've got
You're
mine.
Dead.
Did you talk to the people doing the flu shot, Trudy? Did you ask them any questions?
No.
Oh, nice reporting. I'm just fucking with you.
But it was at Kroger.
I was talking.
That's all I
Wait, at Kroger?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I went to Costco and got mine.
Oh,
I was at CVS and they were out of flu shots.
Well, that's a good thing. I mean, sucks for you, but.
Yeah.
I asked the lady at Costco, I said, are you guys doing a lot of these? She goes, we do about 50 a day. I said, I don't know, is that a lot? And she goes, we've already done half as many as we did all of last flu season.
Wow.
So, I mean, small sample size, but at least people are getting the flu shot.
Yeah.
That's when does flu season start officially?
Right
is
now.
There, is there a...
Yeah.
Right
pretty
now.
Pretty much okay. now.
News, did done. You know New Zealand basically had no flu season?
Yeah.
Because they eradicated COVID. I think it's fascinating.
Keep singing the praises of New Zealand. I already want to move there.
Well,
so.
They're too lucky because they live on a stupid island, so people can't just waltz across their border.
And it's beautiful there. By the way, did you see Antigua has joined, and Barbados have joined all those Caribbean islands who are like, hey, come live here. We'll process you in 5 days. You'll be living here.
Oh, to be COVID-free?
Really?
Yeah, you can stay for a year if you're one of those work-from-home people.
Is it?
Wow.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, they'll give extended
right
visas.
Right near the beach.
Dude.
Bye.
Okay.
We just take all of our Zoom equipment down there.
I'm kind of for it.
Who was it that I heard is basically declaring themselves independent of Britain, Great Britain?
Oh, I don't know.
When you said Barbados, I was thinking Barbados.
Yeah, yeah. They finally pulled the 1776.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, they kicked the Queen out.
So there's nothing England can do about it.
No, I think they're probably just, yeah, go ahead.
I was kind of surprised. I don't know why it surprised me, but it did. And I thought England would have something to say about it, but obviously they don't.
Barbados.
Don't they help them?
Yeah.
Don't they give them a little, throw them a few
would.
Bucks?
Sure. Yeah.
To put the Queen's picture in every business.
Yeah. And then every so often, Princess Margaret would go crash there or something?
Yes.
And the Stones.
Princess Margaret, her crash place was Mystique, I think.
Where's Mystique?
I think Mick Jagger has a joint there.
Yeah, Mystique he does.
Yeah.
That's where Goat's Head Soup was.
It's one of my favorite X-Men.
Acted, right?
Yes. I want to say.
Thank you, Brandon.
Mystique. Sorry.
Princess Margaret. I think she fell in love with a much younger man, Mystique.
Yeah.
Blew up her marriage.
She had blue nipples.
Yeah, she did. She looked good, though.
Now, if you were to ask a celebrity about this decision, you know, of Barbados deciding to kick the Queen out as head of state, yeah. Who would you go to, right? I mean, who's a famous person
Rihanna.
From Barbados?
Rihanna, right?
Exactly. So she's a little busy, but they got the next best thing. Her dad.
Seriously?
Said, hey, Ronald, what do you think about this? And he goes, should have happened in 1966.
Oh, good comment.
Hey, has he got a phone number? Can we call him and see if we can come there and crash?
Here's a dumb question. What is her
Rihanna's
last
dad?
Name?
Rihanna's last
name?
I think
it's Fenty, F-E-N-T-Y.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right. I believe you're right. Bloop.
She gets one name, like Zendaya.
I know. That's weird that Zendaya has one name. The other thing, was can we go back to the Emmys for a bit?
Yeah, I think we better.
How dare they leave Kobe off the In Memorial? I mean, he was on TV all the time.
Wow, you watched all the way to that?
Well, you know what's funny, Trudy? I watched the In Memorial thing or whatever it's called.
Kobe!
Because her played Nothing Compares to You.
Oh, cool.
Did you watch that, Drew?
Yeah, her played it.
I thought that was really good.
That was pretty good. She was good.
I didn't care about the dead people.
Great song.
The dead people.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. You know,
were the dead people this year, though?
There were a few that I felt like I should have known that I just forgot about. Like Brian Dennehy is like, oh, Brian Dennehy. But I knew. I think I knew that.
That's what that is for. It's for people to go, oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And then I'll go, oh, we talked about it on the podcast.
The person who was most
I just forgot.
Was Zach Braff, because that Nick Cordero guy was not mentioned in Memoriam or whatever. And my first thought was that guy on TV? Because I thought he was just some Broadway dude. So I looked up his credits. He had like 4 appearances on television.
Why is Zach Braff so upset?
Nick Cordero was on TV the most when he had COVID and was struggling to stay alive.
How many times do you have to be on TV to be in the In Memoriam segment?
A lot.
Well, then Zach Braff was then mad because Sam Lloyd, everybody knows Sam Lloyd, Christopher Lloyd's nephew, was left off of the MMO.
No, I don't know who the hell that is.
He was on Scrubs.
Oh.
He's that kind of guy, if you saw him,
you'd know.
You would
he was the lawyer.
Him. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's been in a handful of things, but that's
Is he really related to Christopher Lloyd?
Yeah, it's his nephew.
Wow.
It shows.
Why would Zach Braff be so upset about somebody who is really not someone that anyone else missed? I mean, really? I think they put too many people in as it is, because they put in writers and people and go, nobody knows who that is. What the fuck are they doing?
Producers that nobody knows.
What's that?
Producers that nobody knows.
Yeah. You got to be pretty big. Oh, I just thought of something. Has anyone seen Eugene Levy in the same room with Martin Scorsese? What they look like? I mean, is that an old one? Because I was like, wait, is that Martin Scorsese or Eugene Levy?
That's really good.
And Dick Purton.
Yeah, Dick Purton, he would be in that category.
And Tom Bender.
Yep.
What if they all got together?
I'm trying to think of who else.
Someone would have to shave.
The cartoon version of Commissioner Gordon.
It's just the glasses and stash.
Chadwick Boseman was, of course, the wrap-up of the In Memoriam.
Yeah.
Right after Kirk Douglas, who was the second to last.
Was Black Panther even on television?
Oh, he was in other. He was in TV.
Name one.
See, what did he do on TV? I
can't for the life of me name.
I think he was on.
But
SNL
I know he was.
Once. But I thought I just thought he was something for the Academy Awards because he was in film.
Yeah. And there was somebody. What else was in there? Oh, actually, it was when Kirk Douglas came up, because I had just seen Michael Douglas, who, you know, Kaminsky Method. It sounds like it's a good show. I know he won an award last year for it.
Yeah.
And he's like 76 years old. He looks pretty damn good. And I thought, God, if Catherine Zeta-Jones' pussy doesn't take him down, he might live as long as his dad.
Gross.
Sorry.
Gross.
But you know what? You got to suffer for that. She's pretty good looking.
Somebody sent me that audio, by the way, because that's been scrubbed from the internet when Michael Douglas went on there and said that.
That's been scrubbed?
Yeah, I can't find it anywhere. I can't find where he said that. The HPV from Catherine Zeta-Jones is downstairs.
Isn't that bizarre?
Someone asked him.
How do you get that scrubbed?
Why
is it that certain people are so special they can get things scrubbed?
Wasn't he on Good Morning America? One of those
he said it.
Saying something like that?
Yeah, he said it.
It was on the street. It was like a man on the street type of thing in a way. But I think it might have been a TMZ. And there's a lot of wind in the background. So it wasn't the greatest audio. But I want it anyway. And I can't find it.
Huh. By the way, Chadwick Boseman, Law & Order, CSI.
That's it.
ER.
But he wasn't a regular.
No.
Kind of with you then.
But he was on TV. So,
remove him!
Zach Braff, by the way, is he one of those super like angry Twitter people that's always...
I would guess. I have no idea.
I want to say he is. He's got a lot of followers too, I think.
I've seen a lot of his tweets and some of them just seem like there's comedy. You know, they're just funny. But maybe he is political.
Yeah, I think he gets...
He's in the Ruffalo category.
Can I play the one
could
part?
Yeah, a little bit. Oh, by the way, Ruffalo.
oh, God.
Ruffalo made the longest speech tonight. And I know I mentioned Schitt's Creek, but did I mention that he was so he was so righteous about the show being, you know, so inclusive, and it's all the right things, and it is such a great story, and don't vote for hate when you vote. I mean, he was going on and on this terrible Zoom, and so I'm like, okay, Mr. Inclusive, let's look up your show too.
His Zoom was so bad, I thought my connection was bad watching this. Listen.
Wow. Okay. To be with these guys, Paul and Hugh and Jeremy, it's such an honor. You are such,
I just broke the internet.
Performers this year.
Is this where he mentions indigenous lands or
something? I want to thank HBO. I'm coming to you from ancestral lands, Lenape and Muncie, Native people in upstate New York.
What?
HBO, thank you so much.
Wow.
Well, he was, he was very proud of their diversity and inclusiveness and all that. I know this much is true. It's about him as a schizophrenic. And so
maybe by diversity meant people other than him were in the movie.
Maybe, because I looked it up in the 9 first actors, they have rows of 3. The first 3 rows were all white people.
Aww.
There were 24 people that they showed pictures of. 20 of them were white. 2 were Native American. 1 was Dominican. And 1 was Hispanic. No blacks.
Maybe the hired help.
Not sound very diverse to me, Mark Ruffalo. But, I mean, if you're going to say that, if you're going to preach everybody, you really should do this, you really should do that, and then you claim that your project is so perfect, and then it's not. It's like Natalie Portman said, no male director, they all male director category. And then she works for male directors like the next 9 projects.
She's had 9 projects? So I haven't seen
it. It was quite a few. Well, we went through it because she was such a shit about it.
She's going to be the new... Isn't she the new Thor?
What?
Or she's in... defer this question to Brandon.
Yeah, she played Thor's girlfriend in the movies, and now I think maybe
Thor
they're
by
just going to spin it off to the fact that she can lift the hammer. Now, I don't know. I'll watch it.
Can I play the one part of the show that I genuinely actually did laugh out loud?
The David Letterman... Yes. Yeah, it was really funny.
I thought he was.
That was really funny.
It's out.
I was.
Okay, here we go.
Pretends he's pulling up
First
in an Uber.
All, it's not Albany. It's Albany. What? I said I wanted to go to Newark. It was your idea to go to Albany. I was never going to Albany. Hey, why are you so mean to me?
Dave is the master of some non sequiturs, isn't he?
He is.
Thanks a lot, Uber.
He's also the master of nonsense.
He's wearing a tux.
Funny nonsense.
Letterman. Let's wait a second here for that virtual applause to die down. Speaking of applause, how about a nice hand for Jimmy Kimmel and Shelley Long? I think the kids are doing
he
a great
always
job.
References Shelley Long.
Keep up the good work. By the way, Regis, I checked. You're in the montage, buddy. Thank you, sir. This tuxedo, the last time I wore it was in 1986 when I hosted the Emmys. Here's what I found in the pocket. These are jokes from the 90s.
Now, my first thought was, we all remember when he hosted the Uma Oprah thing.
Yeah.
That was not 1986. And I'm wondering, did he even host in 86? I, for some reason, don't think he hosted in 86.
Emmys. I'm going to read them. They're going to be a
jokes.
Lot of fun.
He had the car drive by and yell, "You suck."
it was hosted
what
by Letterman.
Crowd. So Ball. Many stars, so much cocaine. Is this the Emmys or the Mets locker room? Neil Diamond is nominated tonight. Neil, where'd you go for that spray tan? Chernobyl? 1986. Oliver North and Angela Lansbury have a new show this fall on CBS. It's called Trading Arms for Hostages, she wrote. Quality comedy is timeless. Oh, do me a favor. Have you heard back from Dairy Queen? I need the envelope. Thank you very much.
Another car driving
folks,
by.
The nominees for Outstanding Variety Talk Series are Full Frontal with Samantha Bee.
That's pretty Jimmy much Kimmel. It. John Oliver wins.
Yeah, right on.
Every year, doesn't he?
He's been on quite the streak. Yeah. But Jimmy Kimmel then made a joke about having him reported to ICE, because he's originally, I think he's a citizen now, but he's originally from London. Yeah. And somebody on Twitter wrote, "My biggest fear as a kid was seeing my parents get deported by ICE."
Oh, please.
This joke was hurtful and tone-deaf and Jimmy Kimmel.
This is why we can't have good shows. Fun, this is why we can't have good jokes.
Because somebody always wants to be bummed out.
No. We can. This is one asshole. Who cares what this person says? This joke was,
what ends up happening
this
is...
This joke was hurtful and tone-deaf to you! Not to the majority of people.
Yeah. It gets echoed, though, and before you know it, people make changes so that shit doesn't happen.
But back to Drew's point, I think it gets echoed by a lot of shitsters, trolls, and bots.
Yeah.
And builds from there.
And if there isn't an argument, there are people who will provoke one.
Yeah.
Just to get more people to click. And
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. How dare Jimmy Kimmel do that?
Hey, did you guys see my first pitch?
What?
On
your first pitch?
The Emmys. No, it was like a show pitch, I guess. And it was, Issa Rae? Uh-huh. Issa Rae?
Uh-huh.
Insecure. Made from HBO.
Yeah, I wasn't really familiar with the show, but I want you to...
I think it's Issa, but I don't know.
Okay, Issa. I didn't know who it was.
I could look in a full-length mirror and say I'm wrong.
Go to 46 minutes in...
Good for you, Isis!
And this was... I don't know. First of all... Well, I guess it had a happy ending.
Oh.
But I thought it was just weird. It was like...
I omitted. I sped through it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I didn't... I don't...
I was going to, but I didn't know what it was. So I watched it and I was like, oh, I felt kind of bad at the end.
I also sped through Tyler Perry.
Oh, well, Tyler Perry... Those were both really interesting in that I wasn't... You know, I mean, Tyler Perry had one line that was kind of like, what? Because I'll get to that in a second. But first, I just want to hear this. My first pitch. It's about her making a pitch. And I think whoever introduced her said something like, you know, this is what happens when you tell Issa Rae no. Or something to that effect.
When you try to tell Issa Rae no.
Yeah. Thanks for the podcast. Show my pitching her show.
My first.
We're going to knock the
Hollywood
shit out
was
of us.
Kind of unofficial. Basically, I had this web series. It was the third web series I had ever made. The executive was like, yes, I saw your show. Funny stuff. Funny stuff. And I was like, thank you. He was like, yeah, it's about this black woman and her black woman problems. Hilarious. And I was like, that's not what it's about, but okay. He was like, yeah, but you know, the black audience, they want to see familiar faces, you know, so you might need to switch up the characters. And mind you, he's this executive who's not black telling me what black people like. And it just became very clear to me that he didn't get the show. And I remember just fuming in that meeting, like,
hey, a black guy.
Why does he get to tell me what gets to be on TV? Why does he get to tell me what people
he's the executive.
Like me like to see? When I'm here, I'm telling you what I want to see. I made it. For me, that moment was the motivation I needed to keep doing what I was doing, to kind of bet on myself. And that fueled me, like, oh, okay, I'll show you. Well, and, you know, one of us got fired after that.
So that's the happy ending. The old white racist asshole got fired. I mean, anyway, that was, what's his name? Tyler Perry was after that, a little while after that. But he gets into this, did you see Tyler Perry's story?
No, I did not.
Okay, first of all, he starts telling a story about his grandma's quilt that she gave him.
Oh, boy.
I'm thinking, okay, your grandma gives you a quilt. I mean, you know, it's okay. Your grandma.
Tyler's one of the greatest guys.
He didn't like the quilt. In fact, I want a forensic accountant to find out about this quilt, because I'm not sure if I believe the story.
And this grandma.
And an Issa Rae story.
Well, Issa Rae's story, yeah, we could use a forensic accountant there, because it had too happy an ending with a white person getting fired. But
I got to say, that leads a lot to the viewer to judge why he was fired. Maybe the guy had shitty picks, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, if he didn't like that show, I mean, he probably wasn't good at his job.
Because exactly.
The show does pretty well.
Very successful for HBO.
But I thought it was kind of funny that you say...
didn't get black audiences.
Why does he get to tell me what goes on TV?
Because he's the executive! Yeah,
he obviously got that job somehow, I mean, whether he did it or deserved it or not.
And I got to say, not to defend the guy too much, but whoever this turd is, but I bet you he had a lot of research. Research on what black audience is like, and was it just saying it off the top of his head? I'm just guessing. He didn't. That's why he got fired.
Haven't we been in that predicament before, though, where we had, you know, some management
always
trying to tell us?
And haven't we seen a million stupid pitches where you know, nobody's even, they're not even listening to the pitch. because they catch 500 of them a day. Yeah. But anyway, and I don't want to defend the guy either, but anyway.
Whoever he is.
Tyler Perry.
He's probably a horrific racist for real.
It's probably Harvey Weinstein.
The Tyler Perry thing about the quilt is like, yeah, and the quilt is stupid and like the colors. And so I use this quilt like to change the oil on my car.
Oh,
I put it underneath. And he's in his like, I'm thinking, wait, your grandmother's quilt would get a little respect. But he acted like, no, he just thought it was the dumbest quilt ever. Then
I was quite embarrassed by it. I had no value in it at all. When the dog got wet, I dried him off with it. When I needed to change the oil on the car, I laid it on the ground. I had no respect for this quilt.
My grandma!
Many years later, as I was walking past one of those fancy antique stores that I could finally go in and shop, I saw in the window a quilt that looked just like the one that she had given me.
And as I'm in the store
wondering where that quilt was, there was an attendant who walked up to me and said, let me tell you about this quilt. It was made by an African-American woman who was a former slave. And each patch in the quilt she had put in represented a part of her life. One part was from a dress that she was wearing when she found out that she was free. Another part was from her wedding dress when she jumped the broom. And as I was hearing this story, I became so embarrassed.
Oh my God, he's so
deep. Celebrating our heritage, our culture, and I didn't even recognize the value in my grandmother's quilt.
Whoa, whoa, that's your life story.
Story because it didn't look like what I thought it should. Now, whether we know it
what
or
is
not,
this grandma's quilt supposed to look
our
like?
Own quilts with our thoughts, our behaviors, our experiences, and our memories. Like in my own quilt, one of my memories when I was about 10 years old.
Hey,
I
remember oh, that beautiful
my
blanket.
Father standing at the door, and I was wondering why he stood there so long.
I forgot about this part. Listen.
He made his own quilt?
My mother what was going
so
on.
Confused.
She said he had worked all week, and he was waiting for the man to come and pay him, and he never did.
What?
They needed the money at the time.
Oh, my God, I'm
and
lost.
And I tell you, she was so frustrated, she turned to me and she said, don't you ever stand by door waiting for white folks to do nothing for you.
And he was
now,
black.
You understand, my mother wasn't a racist.
Okay. Now, wait a second.
In her quilt, she couldn't imagine.
I realize
God, these quilts.
White people do a lot of bad things. I mean, we certainly are being made aware of that all the time, and we have all this privilege, and we don't earn anything. But white people aren't generally thought of as deadbeats, are they?
No. I'm sure there's some.
No, I mean, are white people known to be the deadbeat race also? I mean, I know there's a million shitty things about white people, but are we deadbeats too? Are we worse deadbeats than the other races?
Deadbeats?
That's a stereotype that's news to me.
Yeah, I thought it was, to say, don't wait around to get paid by a white person.
I think maybe it's not that
we have privilege and I don't think we have money and we think we would pay people.
I don't think it's that they're deadbeats. I think it's that they don't want to pay the minorities.
I don't feel
that his point.
It's deserved. Did Dave Chappelle have a speech last night?
That's my grandson.
There's Tyler Perry's grandma.
He had a speech on Saturday, I think, at the awards nobody cares about, which actually I would have rather seen him than just about anyone.
No. Why can't I just give the awards away in one show and speed it up a little bit?
Yeah. I watched that speech this morning. I thought it was pretty fucking funny.
Yeah, Dave was ripping on the critics and yeah, well, I don't know. I would think they would just put that in the show because they know Dave Chappelle is going to win. And you'd love to see Dave Chappelle. Anybody would love to see Dave Chappelle. And plus, I thought there was...
Is it worth playing?
Yes, it is. It's totally worth playing.
Is it long?
No.
Not terribly.
Not that long, no.
He doesn't talk about a quilt, does he?
No, he doesn't. By the way, I thought Tyler Perry sounded like the asshole for doing it. Why would anybody treat a quilt their grandmother made him like shit? I mean, a quilt is a lot of work. I just thought it was a strange. The whole thing was like, what?
I'm kind of mad at it.
And then he's shopping and he sees a quilt that a slave made. Is he? How old is he? Or did someone rip off this slave and mass copy their quilt?
Oh, that's
my head was just spinning wildly, and then he came out with a "Don't wait to get paid by a white person." I'm like, oh, damn, deadbeats too.
Wow.
But Dave was short and sweet compared to that.
I can't find it, man.
What? No, watch Dave Chappelle's fiery Emmys acceptance speech.
Is it
Rolling Stone?
I mean, I read all the reviews, and they said so many terrible things. They were embarrassed for me. I had lost my way. It wasn't even worth watching. I hope all you critics learn from this. This is a teachable moment. Shut the fuck up forever.
teachable moment.
I love that he's smoking.
I know. Like a chimney.
He's the Keith Richards of comedy.
These aren't them. These are the ones I won for the other ones. Motherfucker.
Tell the up Emmys.
I would like to thank my editor who was nominated. Unfortunately, he did not win, but I couldn't have been more honored to work with Jeff Urin. Stan Lathan has been directing television since 1968. Any show that I watched when I was growing up, he directed it. From Sesame Street to Sanford and Son to Good Times to Everything Black. And finally, you motherfuckers finally gave him an Emmy tonight. He deserves so much more, but I'm glad you came around. I'd like to shout out all the other nominees tonight. Tiffany Haddish and Patton Oswalt and Hannah Gatsby and Brother Mulaney. You guys are an inspiration to me, and I'm honored to be nominated with you. I'm sorry that you didn't win tonight, but who gives a fuck anyway? It's a special night because comedy gets to be itself. It's all we've ever wanted. I hope the war is over. We good?
Yeah.
And as always, I love to thank my wife, Elaine.
So that was cool.
Yeah, Dave's great. I love Dave. Didn't we see the clip of somebody who didn't win an Emmy put a clip up on Twitter? And it was of the person in the hazmat suit.
It was Rami. From Rami.
And the hazmat suit person basically waved goodbye because they didn't win the Emmy, and so they walked away with the Emmy. That was great.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, I was talking about the... I actually wrote down some of the stuff, the in-between stuff, which I was like, God, I just wasn't laughing at anything.
That's
like
weird.
The, let's see. Oh, the New Year's Eve bit with Jennifer Aniston again. And Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
Oh, it was with Kerry Washington and Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. I was
like, it fell so flat.
The post office bit.
Oh.
Russian post office.
That guy, though.
Was NoHo Hank.
Yeah,
NoHo Hank. I was so confused by that. I thought he was going to be NoHo Hank, and now he's a new character.
Oh, well.
What was Gabrielle Union? What was that?
Oh, she was introducing.
They showed a boy's booty.
Yeah.
Yen.
Yeah, they that's when they had the celebrities introduce.
Oh yeah, Jason Sudeikis got the COVID test.
Was there any smoking around her?
No. No.
Okay.
How's her lawsuit coming along, I wonder. Wonderful. I see Terry Crews is very happily doing show now.
Crushing it.
I'm sure he's canceled from everywhere else. Oh, is Nick Cannon started hosting yet? Are they doing the
question.
Whatchamacallit Singer yet?
Masked Singer.
Although he's getting his other job back.
Yeah, I don't know when the Masked Singer starts.
It seems like that was late in the season last year, wasn't it?
Probably was. Yeah, I don't think it started.
They're
yet.
Probably just working on it now.
Let's see. I just wrote down all these bits. It seemed like every one of them was like, oh jeez.
Wow, and it's coming up Wednesday.
Is it?
Season 4 premieres on Wednesday.
Is he gonna pull an Ellen and talk about everything at the very beginning of
Masked I hope
Singer.
So.
Yeah, right. I think it might kill the feeling of the Masked Singer.
Probably not on that show.
Are any of the judges Jewish?
Howie's not a judge in that show.
I don't even know who the judges are. I know Ken Jeong is usually on
there. Robin Thicke, Jenny McCarthy, Ken Jeong, and Nicole Scherzinger.
Oh.
Is Thicke Jewish?
Thicke.
Mm-hmm. Wait, Robin Thicke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a judge?
Yeah.
Wait, he went from having like the biggest song of the year 2 years ago to exactly. a judge on that show?
Exactly. He stole it?
Yeah, he did steal it. Isn't it weird how, you know, like Katy Perry goes on American Idol's like, wait, this girl's got like 7 or 8 number one songs and she's on, she's a judge on American Idol?
It's a good move because that was the end of her.
But what was the end? Was it the end when she became a judge, or was the end happening?
Left Shark was the end of her.
It was the end when Orlando Bloom put his penis in her.
Oh.
That was the end. She might have liked it.
Gross.
Hugh Jackman's wife. Did anybody see Hugh Jackman's wife last
week? Oh, yeah, I've seen her. Oh, yeah. I've seen her before. But yeah.
Does she look like she'd be Hugh Jackman's wife?
No, yeah. She's a lot older than he is.
Everyone's always said that.
Is Hugh Jackman... Could that be a beard situation?
No.
Just asking. No.
No? No, 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 no. They've been together forever.
Because he loves theater. I mean, I could care less if he's gay.
He's also Wolverine, man.
Yeah, he's not. No, come on. He's got kids. Listen. Okay. He's been with her forever.
Okay.
And, you know, if you look at, you know, pictures of her in the 80s and 90s, yeah, she looked fantastic.
She just aged faster than he did.
I mean,
she did.
Some
it's like a Barbara Bush thing.
Some people are saying that they have an open relationship.
Oh, okay. Oh. Wait, there's another
one. He loves her.
That's just me saying it.
There's another one like that. Who's James Bond with the really heavy wife? Pierce Brosnan. His wife just lost, like, it said she lost 70 pounds or something. Really? She's still fat. I mean, I'm not just saying. She's like regular fat now.
She's not obese.
But he loves her.
I'm sure he does because they're nonsense. Always pictured on the beach.
I hear
which
they
is
have
not
an
good
open
for
relationship.
Her.
She's got big boobs, man. Huge boobs.
She does have huge boobs. No, she does.
Jackman's wife is 13 years older than him.
Really?
Okay.
Wow.
Which is probably fine 20 years ago, but you know, maybe he's not. You know. Well, they have an open marriage.
That's what I heard.
That'd be a good clause, though, wouldn't it? So that you could still stay together and then.
At the open marriage?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
She can, like,
makes sense to me.
Find some sort of silver fox to hang out with. He's her own age, too.
I like Jackman. He's a good dude.
He's very cool.
He's a little song and dancey lately.
He is very song and dancey. Yeah, that's why I kind of wondered about me. Kimmel made a Quibi joke, which kind of surprised me.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He said
that
Quibi has 10 Emmy nominations, and then he said it's the dumbest thing to ever cost $1 billion. And by the way, it could not have 10 nominations. There's no way.
I think that had to be a joke.
No, I don't know anyone. Does anyone ever watch anything on Quibi?
You're just talking about this while you were gone.
Oh.
Thanks for listening.
Anyway, by the way, it cost $2 billion. It didn't cost $1 billion. They raised $2 billion, and I think they were raising more to compound the error. And
it did have 10 Emmy nominations.
Whoa.
For what?
And they're all, of course, in short-form categories. I have a feeling like they made these categories just for Quibi.
Quibi? Yeah, because who is the executive behind Quibi? It's some big shot.
Katzenberg. And
yeah, and he never fails. And, of course, this is a huge failure, so... They said that, they need to raise more money, and COVID is the reason that it didn't do well. I mean, honestly, no one, I read this long story about Quibi, and nobody was willing to say that, yeah, it's just a sucky idea, and it's been a big waste of money. It was just all these excuses. COVID.
This is really
fun. COVID has been great for TV.
I know.
All kinds of TV.
Didn't make any sense.
One of the things it got 2 nominations for was Reno 911, which has already been an established show before.
Yeah. Did what's her face get one? Pancake Face, John Legend's wife, Chrissy Teigen.
I don't know. I'm reading.
No, she's on bed rest.
Yeah.
Well, I guess.
Oh,
she
she's on bed rest.
An Emmy. What did she do on TV?
I don't know. Well, did you see her in the table read though?
She had a Quibi show
when she walked up.
No.
Oh, they introduced John Legend and.
Oh, she has to butt in.
Has to walk up and like, hey, what the fuck's going on?
Oh wow, edgy.
I know. I mean, he was marginal to be on there in the first place, in my opinion.
I'm just reading this story about Quibi's Emmy nominations. What percent? So you know, you could get it for free, and then you turn into a paid subscriber. That's the
right,
model now.
Right.
What percent do you think they converted into paying subscribers?
Mark, I read this. It was incredibly low. What was it?
8%.
Yeah. Okay. And they were expecting. I forgot how many
30,
subscribers.
30%. They were expecting to get 30% conversion.
But it was supposed to equal some insanely high number, and it was way. It wasn't even close. It wasn't even the ballpark. It was so below it. And so they were just COVID-19.
Didn't Reese Witherspoon take home a big chunk of that? Couldn't she give some back?
Yeah, I was. No. I couldn't believe the
She's
money they were
enough.
Throwing at people.
That is hilarious.
I wonder who's
here's
money.
Here's some other conversion rates just. So people understand, I guess, where it ranks with these. Disney Plus, 59%. Hulu and CBS All Access, 58%. Apple TV Plus, 57%. HBO Max, 56%. And Quibi got 8%.
That's pretty funny.
Hey, Quibi.
Yeah, they were. I want to know, and they should tell us this, who blew their money on Quibi? Who put in the $2 billion that is, who is losing their ass right now on that horrible idea?
That's a great question.
Because I know they raised $2 billion, and they were trying to raise more.
Oh, here you go.
All kinds of people want to donate.
Walt Disney.
Major Hollywood Film Studios.
Yeah. 21st Century Fox, NBC Universal. So
okay, so it's no one's money.
Time Warner, Viacom.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why they don't care.
So are they? What's their plan to take, like, just shorter versions of their projects in the, like, since movie theaters are kind of no longer a thing?
What was Quibi's plan?
Yeah, it's just 10 minutes.
10 minute episodes of stupid things.
So maybe like spin off all of these different investors' shows into little.
Well, I'm sure they didn't want to be left out in case it became big. So what's a drop? You know, honestly, if you have that many putting, say, $200 million, that's a drop in the bucket for a lot of those companies.
By the way, do you remember last time you went to the movies before we couldn't go to the movies?
No.
Because I didn't like anything at the movies for like maybe 2-3 years.
I think it was Secret Life of Pets too.
It's been pretty sporadic for me. I mean, it's got to be something I'm really excited about, and
nothing really.
I don't know. Avengers. Honestly, I don't understand why you can't go to a theater now. I just do not understand it. For all the places that you can go, you can go to college on a campus with 40,000 people and party your ass off and rush your fraternity, but you can't go to a movie theater.
I don't understand that.
I don't even think the bowling alley thing makes sense.
No, the bowling alleys are still being screwed too. But Brandon's theory is that what are they trying to? Are they trying, like, Paul Glanz?
I'm not sure if maybe it's Whitmer versus Paul Glanz because he was talking shit earlier.
Yeah, but he gave up. He stopped talking shit because he said, "Well, we tried to push back, and obviously it didn't help us. So we're just trying to support the governor at this point." I mean, it was like it was almost embarrassing.
And he does have a fantastic product with Imagine Theaters, and Paul Glanz is a known badass.
He
and
is.
Hopefully, when this is all said and done, we can have a Drew and Mike promo before the movies instead of a Jay Towers.
You get a kickback? You get a kickback for Drew, don't light a cigarette, by the way. I know you ragged me for having a Snoopy sniffer, but I smelled gas and went upstairs and your stove was on.
Oh, you serious?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I can still smell it.
Really?
That's what it is. Yeah, I can smell it now. Yeah. Oh, my God.
One of your burners was it was on high with no flame. I don't know.
Why is there no flame? That's my question. How was I supposed to know to turn it off?
I'm kind of high now.
Just by smelling it, yeah. So if you get dizzy and pass out, that's why.
Oh, great.
I got a little buzz going, though. That's cool. For free.
Did you remember doing that, Drew, or did someone just walk in and turn on your
burner? You know what's weird?
Bump it every once in a while.
A couple times I've leaned against it and turned it on. You opening a door?
Yeah.
I think you need to get an electric fridge.
Actually, you know what? That's funny. That stove was unplugged for a long time. I never used it. And I forgot why I plugged it in.
I know. You need to unhook it.
Have Tan Rob unplug it.
I was going to ask, Brandon, is there anybody new on Cameo?
Ooh. You know what? Let me check, because I did see a couple people that I raised some eyebrows to the other day.
Hmm. New?
Yeah. Well, we got... Of course, you're going to get, you know, your sports guys. They jump all over this.
Wait, Alyssa Milano's been on there for a while?
I don't think so. I think Alyssa Milano might be new, and she's $100.
Really? Let's get it.
Yeah.
And she has none so far.
She has none?
She's donating it all to...
What do you think all these lefties would get her?
She's donating it all to Biden. No, I'm not joking.
Seriously. She is. She's voted. Yep. All money goes to Joe Biden.
Yeah, because she's got a new career now because Who's the Boss is coming back, right?
Oh, and
is
that please, no great. Business requests.
Will Who's the Boss be popular? Really?
Probably. Everything really? That's old people like.
Yeah, we'll
that's
check it out. I don't know if
that's
we'll get a
pretty
second.
Old.
What does Danza look like now, though? I haven't seen him
in
forever.
Looks a little older than I thought he would look the last time I saw him.
Yeah.
He's up there. He's like
Jonathan going to be on there?
Like,
Jonathan?
I don't know that show at all.
Oh, really?
Jonathan. I really don't.
Mona's dead.
Oh, Jonathan is a little brother.
He's so
Jonathan
flamboyantly
will be there, right?
Out. Now,
oh,
right?
That's right.
Doesn't he have AIDS?
What?
Doesn't he have AIDS?
Did you just give Jonathan from Who's the Boss AIDS, Brandon? I mean, maybe he does. I don't know.
Oh, Tony Danza.
I don't
want to
ever
looks
root
like Tony
for AIDS.
Bennett.
but I'm going to right now just because I don't want to be really wrong.
Brandon's cheering for AIDS. I'm looking it up for him. Oh, boy. His name is Danny Pintaro.
Yes, yes. In 2015, he revealed that he was HIV positive. So I don't know if he has the full blown. He says he was addicted to meth.
He contracted the virus as the result of, quote, unsafe oral sex in 2003.
Wait, how did he track it down to 2000? Did he get it in 2003?
Contract tracing. Oh, there's an exclusive video interview. Do you want to watch it?
Yeah. All right, let me cue it up. Wait, they contact traced to oral sex?
Well, Pintaro did.
Maybe he had a biter. I don't know.
Oh Brandon.
I don't know. I'm speculating.
I remember, I think we were at Riff, like, maybe in the mid...
So I beat him, and I said, if I beat you this round of Words with Friends, we're going to dinner.
You have to blow him.
AIDS!
Hot.
Okay. And I cheated.
Cool story.
Of course. I mean, I'm going to win. I want the date, you know? But, you know, with HIV, it's the kind of thing where if you feel like there's any level of romance or any sort of emotional connection, it's the first thing you want to tell them because you need to find out right away if they're in a place in their life where they can handle it. And it's okay if they're not there. You can't force someone to be ready to handle the responsibility or the fears and the stuff, the discussions that you have to have about it. I can't get emotionally involved until I've found out if they're good with it or not. And he had no qualms whatsoever.
HIV is like no big deal now.
I was so happy about that. I was in contact with Tony and Judith beforehand. They knew. So they were already lending their support. I wasn't in contact with Alyssa, and I regret that now. I really should have let her know beforehand because she got just as shocked as everybody else. And she
he's upset he didn't tell Alyssa Milano.
Before she went on the talk, but it was like 8 o'clock in the morning, and I was exhausted, so I didn't answer it. And then as soon as that was done, we started texting, and it's been so cool, so good.
Hey. I'm so glad that he...
He's Dreamweaver.
How do we know he got it from oral sex? Talking
about now,
I just want to know how he knew he got it from oral sex.
Her reaction, though, on the talk was like amazing.
Wait,
I mean, she hates everything.
Brandon, hold on. Can I ask Brandon? You said that he finally contracted in 2015.
In 2015, he announced that he had contracted.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking that he went back to 2003 and figured out it was some BJ 12 years earlier that he got AIDS from. And I was like, what?
It was either really good or really bad.
I was extremely paranoid. I was the kind of guy who would do condom checks, you know, fill the condom with water afterwards to see if it leaked or if it... I was that terrified. But drugs got involved, you know. And as soon as you're in the middle of, you know, the meth sort of craziness,
meth and you got two guys,
you're going to be less responsible. Believe it or not, with this guy, I was actually safe. We did use condoms. I got it another way, which was through oral sex, which is a complicated story. But when you put all of these nasty things together, like a compromised immune system, having been up for a long time, drugs, rough sex, all of that combined with lesions in your mouth, maybe, or bodily fluids mixing. It's that easy. For years and years, I could not remember.
Where's the condom? There's no condom anymore?
I guess I didn't want to remember his name. But I can't, it was the fates, again, sort of playing along. I was searching for an email. I came across this sort of like letter I had written myself about these are the things I want to remember from my time in New York. His name was in there.
I got dental damage in my truck. You can just grab that.
I have searched.
What? Can you go back? I was wondering what he said about he sends letters to himself.
That combined with lesions in your mouth, maybe, or bodily fluids mixing.
Okay, Pintaro.
It's that easy. For years and years, I could not remember his name. I didn't want to remember his name, but I can't, it was the fates again, sort of playing along. I was searching for an email. I came across this sort of like letter I had written myself about these are the things I want to remember from my time in New York, and his name was in there. I have searched. I searched the obituary.
He writes letters about things he wants to remember.
I fear that I'd find him there, and I can't find him. I can't find him anywhere. So if anyone. Well, we're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep trying to find him because I do want to speak to him. Mostly, I just want to find out if he's okay. His life, the lifestyle he's leading is really...
The cock.
What was that interview on?
One of the tabloid shows, like Extra or E or something.
They played that whole interview?
On their website they have the whole...
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Did you see the thing about the Epstein, the... the second pilot, who was his pilot for 25 years, is releasing all the flight logs.
No, I did not.
Yeah, and this is like major flight logs. Not apparently the first person the flight logs came from was really just a secondary pilot because he had two planes, which I did know that. But anyway, he's going to release all this stuff, and so apparently a lot of people are panicked.
I did see that there's that big story about his private chef.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's spilling everything.
Yeah, and Virginia Jeffrey Roberts actually talks pretty highly of him in a way. I mean, I don't know if highly is the best way to say it, but out of all the people surrounding in that Epstein world, she liked him because he actually respected her and talked to her like a person. Even if she was standing totally nude in front of him, he would look her in the eye. So he sounds like a good dude, I guess.
Okay.
Well, going back real quick to Cameo, just to wrap up, we can get these out of the way. I know we've mentioned Chet Hanks before, Chet Hayes.
Yeah.
But he's on there as new and notable. I don't know if he left and came back.
And I'm going to guess 100% of the money he makes on Cameo goes directly to him and not charity. Oh, okay.
It's only $99, so he's a bargain, I guess. And he does about 50% of them with a shirt on and 50% with a shirt off, so it's just a mixed bag. You never know what you're going to get, but I'm sure you're going to get philosophical and great words. Here's just a...
Megan, what's going on? It's your boy Chet Hanks. Look, I know this is random, but your sister hit me up. She let me know you got a birthday coming up on May 12th. And you know, the thing about May 12th is that...
He must be a newbie because he's doing it with his window behind him, so he's all washed out.
So it does sound like maybe he was gone and now he's back, and that's why he's new, because the latest one was in May. Who's Steve Dorff?
Steve the Dorff Dorfman.
Okay. Steve Dorff is on there now for $100.
Happy 66th birthday.
Who is that dude?
You're from Perth, Australia.
I thought you guys would know him because he's in like the Hall of Fame. Like,
it's not Steven Dorff.
I know. So I'll skip him and go to an actual artist by the name of DJ Jazzy Jeff, who is going to have another, he's going to have a resurgence here because he's $125 on Cameo and he will appear on the Fresh Prince of Bel Air. And then finally, Steve Gleason, everybody's favorite husband and speaker. All, you know, fighting ALS.
Yeah, he's the guy that blocked the kick.
He just got on there?
Yeah, and he is $237.
Can we play one, man? I like this guy. That documentary is incredible.
It is incredible.
But I just want to hear what he sounds like now.
Hi there, Stace. Steve Gleason here.
That's what I thought.
Your 55 BFFs told me that today is your birthday. While we're both WSU Cougars, you might like to know that today is my half birthday. So I'm 43 and a half today.
So
I didn't
Gleason,
know that he needed a
voice
box.
They used the computer like Hawk had, but
I should join Cameo too.
But they actually used words that Gleason had said in interviews and stuff. He started recording it before he lost the ability to
speak. So it's his voice it's digitalized.
I know that's so weird that they did that.
I was going to do that.
Maybe you should have invented it, Hawk, you loser.
I felt so bad in that documentary.
Fuck you, Mark.
Hit the outro. Get us out of here. I saw him doing that in the documentary. And then also, when he started losing his ability to walk and run, it was like, oh, man. And he had to swim in that yearly event he was in. And he could barely swim. Oh, God. It just was so brutal. It's like, how can anybody feel sorry for themselves after seeing that documentary?
Yeah. We need to play the commercial first.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What about me?
From our friends at
Hope Not Handcuffs.
Hope Not Handcuffs.
I really reached my breaking point after I made that jump to heroin, and I just knew if I didn't make a change, I would ultimately lose my life. I was passing by a police department, and I just made the split-second decision to walk in. The police officer greeted me. Hope Not Handcuffs arrived and saved my life.
The first step doesn't need to be the hardest. Let us guide you to recovery. Go to HopeNotHandcuffs.com to learn more.
Yeah. Hit the outro. That's where you can go to any of these many police stations. We should get on the website and read off some of the police
yeah.
departments because it's many, many, many. Many in Oakland County.
There's a link. There's a link on our site. If you can't remember, helpnothandcuffs.com.
Yeah.
But it links right there, and it shows you all the municipalities. And if you don't have a problem and you want to help, they're still looking for angels.
You know, people are helping to arrange treatment for people when they do go to the police station. Say, you know what, I'm an addict. I am really struggling. I need help. And it's saved a lot of people. Helped a lot of people so far, and they're hoping to get many, many more. With the help from all the shows in the Red Shovel Network, and everybody's excited about it. I told Charlie about it. He's like, oh, well, I want to interview the guy. That's a great program.
It's a really good program, yeah.
And so, yeah, we're going to be working with them for a few weeks, and all's good. Was there anything new in the Lions game today?
Not that I saw.
This is really, there's nothing to say. I mean, they've done everything shitty you can do. There's really nothing to say after they lose a stupid game anymore.
No,
I just don't. I really don't know how these Quinn and Patricia can even finish the season. It's become such a joke.
They won't.
I don't think they will either.
I don't see. I mean, how many games in a row can you lose? You lose 9 games in a row and you get another chance. You have to come out firing on a few more cylinders.
Is there a new no filter? What do they say?
Well,
same old Lions.
Pretty much. Yeah, we'll check them out anyway.
I think he's gone. Eli rattled through all the coaches of the past, and we got to get a new one.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
Do you think that when this is out, it'll make us more attractive to the ladies?
Yeah. In fact, I've been getting ready.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've been doing cock push-ups.
Cock push-ups?
Yeah.
What are those?
It's where you fucking lay down flat on the ground.
Yeah.
And then you let your boner lift you up off the ground.
No, that'd be impossible. Your cock could support your whole weight?
Well, not at first.
Yeah.
But over time.
Hmm. How many push-ups can you do?
Cock push-ups?
Yeah. I guess you can only do one, really.
Yeah, one is all you need.